This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the Evening Star Attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me four fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault! Honest! I ran out of gas! I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hit it indeed. PFW in Progress, Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. The A-team today in our regular season scheduling. Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. Here taking your emails from 12 to 1. And then we'll have a little bit of a different scheduling this year because of some of the changes here at Patriots.com Radio. We'll be going around the NFL on Thursdays on the second hour, making our picks as we have done in the past on Friday's second hour, and that change is coming about due to the fact that ESPN Radio Boston, 890 here in Boston.
That 800 number, I forgot it, I'm sorry.
Is now doing Patriots Friday live from Gillette Stadium every Friday, and while they're on the air locally and on Patriots.com, right, Gary, from 3 to 7, 4 to 7 at night, they'll also be using the studio at times on Fridays to tape some interviews for that very show. So on Fridays, we'll still be on 12 to 2, but because of the open locker room period and player availability, there'll be some times where you may hear Michael Felger, who hosts the show on ESPN Radio. It is, I guess, the Michael Felger Show. He'll be here joining us, and at times you'll hear some interviews, actual live interviews, while he's taping them, with guys like Roosevelt Colvin, Troy Brown, and others that are on that radio program with him, Matt Light. So you got a couple guys there, and at least Colvin and Light, who really like to talk. So those can be interesting interviews every week.
Take me home,
oh boy.
Country road,
oh boy.
To the place that I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really like. Of course, I don't like country music, so maybe that was actually decent. But Paul Perillo, is this the longest you've ever been silent on this radio program? I got to tell you, we're like 5 minutes in, and Paul
is the microphone off.
Is there something wrong with your cat? Got your tongue, voice,
laryngitis. This thing on?
I know he's got laryngitis from all his many other appearances on various TV shows, radio programs, the football show now on EEI.
I
just thought you were doing such a wonderful job introducing the show. I felt no reason to jump
in. People love to hear your voice.
Well, they
certainly
do.
You do.
They do, Andy. They do.
But that's right.
God.
So the A-team here today, 12 to 1. Then we'll be joined by Tom Casale and Fred Kirsch to go around the NFL. I don't know if I'm going to be ready to make my picks. You know, I usually need that extra day to research and really prepare. So this could hurt my record this year.
And we did it quick last week, so we missed the Andy Hart.
And I didn't bring my sheets today because I didn't know it was today. So we're going to have to wait till week three before we start with the Andy Hart fun facts of the year. I know fans
just
love
come
that.
Up with something. The Raiders
you
wear black.
You expect me to make up 16 different fun facts? I have enough trouble coming up with things for our paper on the Patriots. But yes, webradiopatriots.com if you want to join in. We'll be taking your emails for the first hour and then maybe disperse them a little bit through the second when the other two guys join us. Webradiopatriots.com. Gary, are we up and running with the phone lines? Can I give the number out? Yes, indeed. 508-543-7482.
Phone banks are open.
Phone banks are open, or bank if you want to, you know, I think we have one line here. Oh, we have two? We can actually take two callers?
Yeah, but I'd have to call the other person on a different line.
Do you have? Does it light up in there when someone calls? Do you have one of those little things? Or such
flashing?
No, I
hear the phone ring.
Yeah, we're a little behind in the times. We need to update some of our technology down here, no? Especially now that there's actually real radio stations using it. ESPN Radio Boston, WEEI's on Patriots Monday here on Patriots.com. But anyway, we have all our normal...
You can catch Andy Hart on that ESPN Patriots Friday as
That's
well.
That's true.
Could I use your guys' phone for a sec?
You can tune in at approximately 4:40 every Friday, and I'll be joining Felger and Joe Haggerty of the Boston Metro. I don't know who he is either. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482. Emails are already starting to pile in. Paul, reactions from the Bill Belichick press conference today. I know you're always one of the very astute observers, and I'd like to get your reaction.
Well, my reaction to Thursday in general is it seems that the end, you know, the completion of the Deion Branch stuff. You know, I didn't hear the name come up once today. Not in the press conference, not in the locker room afterwards. You know, I wasn't involved in all of the interviews, obviously. I don't know if anybody was necessarily talking about that in the locker room. But from the ones that I was involved in, it seems like, okay, he was here. We traded him. He's gone. We'll talk about it. And now we've moved on. To be honest with you, I would be very fearful right now if I was the Jets. Because I think the Patriots are going to lay a whooping on the Jets on Sunday. And part of the reason for that is this whole letdown thing has been talked about so much. I think the letdown, the hangover, was last week.
Right. If you believe Brady, it certainly was.
I think the layover, you know, any lingering effect happened last week. They were distracted, in my opinion. Now, you can criticize them if you want to for being distracted. Tom certainly was very candid yesterday in saying that he spent too much of his energy last week worrying about things beyond his control. He was mentioned it two or three different times in his press conference and said that...
Look at that douchebag.
He needs, you know, he needs to stop worrying about things that are beyond his control. He felt like it was a mentally draining experience last week, and he openly admitted, Andy, that it affected his play. I wouldn't expect to have Tom Brady let something else affect his play 2 weeks in a row. You call me a quarterback apologist if you want, but guilty as charged.
Is that an excuse? How did it affect his play?
Well, I don't know what
kind. Did he skip a meeting because he was home at bed crying, staring at a picture of Deion?
That's not bad. Only he knows the answer to that. I mean, only he knows if he didn't necessarily put as much time when he wasn't. Now, I don't think that he skipped a meeting. I don't think that he prepared any less for practice or whatever, but it's the time away from football. Instead of maybe thinking about, you know, something that he was going to be doing on Sunday, maybe he's wondering, what am I going to do without Deion out there? Or is Deion going to be back? You know, and I'm not saying it was a major effect. Do I think
it's
one
was
of those
overrated?
Things?
He
yes.
had a bad game and he looked back and he said, oh, I must have let that affect me.
And you know
I think
what?
If he threw three touchdown passes and went, you know, 20 of 27 for 280 yards, you know what I mean? It was one of those things that the performance came and then he said, oh, I must have let it affect. I don't know if it was accurate.
I do, and I think there's some truth to what you're saying. However, I think that that's gone now. Any of that is over, and I think that the Jets were happy to have a win. You know, in reading some of the stuff that's coming out of New York this week, there's been a lot of Mangini really needed that because he was under such fire all preseason for his quote-unquote Patriots ways. And it wasn't going over well in the Big Apple. He needed a win for validation. And now I think there's a lot of patting on the back going on in New York. This home opener, I think, can get ugly for the Jets. If this is another close game for the Patriots, I would be concerned, you know, going forward for New England. Because this is not a very good football team they're going to play. And the Patriots are coming off a subpar performance for them, where they had a rally in the second half and squeak out a win against a bad team at home. I expect them to win this game handily by, you know, 20 points anyway.
Well, you certainly made up for the first 5 minutes of silence with the second 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No, I agree with you. Talking to Rosie yesterday for a Pulse story I'm working on for the paper, obviously he was asked about some of the branch stuff, and I found it interesting. A couple of reactions he had. One was he said, how long are we going to talk about this? You know, are we going to talk about 10 months later? That are we going to still be talking about Dion? No. We don't talk about Lawyer anymore. We don't talk about any of the various players that left. It's time to move on. He's gone. He's in Seattle. He can't help us now. And I thought that was interesting. And then he was asked if the veterans have taken on any sort of a role with the young players and telling them you can't let this affect you. And he said, let what affect you? You know, Dion Branch isn't here. They didn't even really know Dion Branch. They know the team we have. That's the team we have. We have to go on and play. And I think that's the approach you have to take. There's no question it hurts you at wide receiver. But it doesn't necessarily hurt you because Dion Branch isn't here. It hurts you because you don't have necessarily a lot of proven talent at wide receiver. It's not just the individual. And I know Brady talked about, you know, the management doesn't get to know them as people. We hang out. We're friends. So it's different. But the biggest factor is you need wide receivers to line up and catch the ball. You know, whether you miss Dion Branch or not, the two aren't necessarily directly related. If Chad Jackson had played all preseason, you'd have a different scenario here because maybe he's, you know, catching 8 or 9 passes and people are going, wow, he's a physical freak. He's got great hands. He's fast. He can get open. So it's part of it is
the
you
Andy
just don't
Hart
have anybody.
That went on during the preseason. I mean, during the off season.
Hearing that no
more.
I've passed on that ship.
Yeah, let's get somewhere in the middle on that, okay?
Right.
All right. You know, he's not quite the perennial all-pro that you had him put out to be, and you know, we certainly don't think that he's already a bust because his career has gotten off to a slow start.
But I just the things that worry me is the injury, one, the questions about how he's just handled himself since he's been here as a rookie, as a player, not necessarily shutting the bleep up when he should have or could have like some other rookies do. So all of the factors kind of play into why I'm a little cautious, because I think if you're going to be really good, you know my rule, you're special from the beginning if you're special.
Yeah, you have very strange
if you
rules.
Know how to handle things, if you're a natural leader, a natural talent, a phenom, it all comes out.
How is Eric Moulds? Eric Moulds a good player?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
But I bet
he
you he worked hard.
Years.
And but I'm not talking about the production. I'm talking about being special in terms of working hard, fitting in, all that stuff. I don't know much about Eric Moulds. Some people think he's kind of a, where's Tom Casale when you need him? Paul's not, Fred's not, what's his name? Gary. Look at that douchebag.
One of those.
I've heard people say he's one of those.
I don't think that he's a particularly good guy.
So,
I agree.
If, you know, Tom Brady.
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
But anyway, so obviously, what's that?
We're going to go to the phone
banks. Right to the phones early and often.
The phone banks.
Dan in Fairfax is joining us. Dan, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, I'm getting prepared to read your installment in Patriots Football Weekly.
Yeah, I sent it in this morning.
I got the email, and I haven't read it yet, but I did get it, and we will be running it.
Cool. It was just an unbelievable experience this weekend. For those that don't know, I attended the game as a Patriots reporter for a day on the Extra Points credit card, and Patriots treated me all class. It was just a phenomenal day. Well, I was sorry I didn't get to meet Paul, though.
Yeah, he was busy doing one of his many media
I'm sorry,
engagements.
Dan.
That's the way it goes. I didn't want to
you didn't miss anything.
While you were busy.
He's not really anything special.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I actually was told that you came and you stopped by and got to meet everybody. And
right.
I unfortunately was doing the pregame show that Andy's making fun of me about, but
that's
I missed
all right.
it.
So, Dan, take people through a little bit, step by step, what your weekend was like, what you actually did.
Well, first thing, we made our way to the press box before our guide even got there, just looked around, saw all the reporters that I've seen for years on TV, read in the paper, Borges and Felger and
give
Bob
me a break.
Neumeier and Mike Dowling, the list just went on and on. That was
Monte Vizel.
That was pretty neat just on its own. And then our guide came and gave us a whole tour of the stadium. We saw where you guys are broadcasting now, saw all the booths. She took us out onto the field, got to say hi to Bob Kraft. It was just a great experience there. Then we went back up to the booth, watched the game. Everybody had been telling me that the press box is supposed to be neutral, no cheering, and no Patriots gear and so on, which we didn't do, but I didn't find the press box to be actually neutral. I think most of the people there were pretty much rooting for the Patriots. But there was a lot of buzz on Lawrence Maroney, but when the Bills were leading, it was dead quiet in the press box. And then once they came back, there was a lot more chatter and relief, I think. And then we went down after the game. We went down to the Bill Belichick press conference and the Tom Brady press conference. I sat in and watched an interview with Rodney Harrison on TV, and just a great, great experience.
Well, I'm glad it all went well. It sounds like it was a good experience.
Yeah, I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life. It was something I've always wanted to do, see the behind the scenes.
It's not quite as glamorous as you thought it was. I bet.
To me, it was pretty glamorous.
Okay.
I really thought it was great. I don't know what else I can tell you. I guess if you did it day after day, it wouldn't feel so glamorous.
Well, the only thing I would say is beyond the fact that you actually got to, you know, to see, you know, Belichick and the players, mm-hmm. you know, I would think that it would be a little bit less glamorous from that point on, you know, if you got a chance to do it all.
Yeah.
Fred Kirsch walking in the studio. Wow. Excellent.
Dan, I don't want to put you on the spot here and ask you personal information, but
sure.
How much money did you have to spend to get here?
You had to charge $50,000 on the credit card.
Wow.
How long did that take?
About a year and a half.
$1 million.
Apparently Dan's quite the big spender.
I was going to say, Dan, next time, what's the closest stadium to Virginia?
Tennessee,
Redskins.
Yeah, okay. I've been
that's
to
true.
Redskins.
Fairfax is right outside. Yeah, that's good. When are we playing the Redskins again? Maybe it's all on Dan.
Yeah, it's on his Patriots Extra Point Visa card. Wow.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
So in the end, though, you had a very it was worthwhile. You had a good experience.
Oh, I had a great experience. One brief story. During halftime of the game, I sat in on a little conversation between Brian Morey and Tom Casale.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was pretty funny. Tom Casale, he definitely didn't let his thoughts back. He launched several F-bombs. He was pretty upset.
Look at
halftime.
That douchebag.
Yeah, we were all kind of stunned, actually, for the better part of three quarters of that game. I mean,
yeah.
Especially the first half, obviously.
Absolutely.
None of us saw it going that way.
Right.
And did you try a cookie in the press box?
Didn't have a cookie. Had one of the hot dogs.
The cookies are tremendous. You missed out.
What are you going to do?
Press box hot dog. Bold move.
Yep.
How'd that sit?
How long did that last?
Apparently you checked out the stall as well in the bathroom.
No, it wasn't so bad.
No, that's. I'm glad you had a good experience because... Obviously, you spent a lot of money to earn that experience,
right.
And it's good that it paid off. And
glad to hear that he was treated well.
Yeah.
They treated me great. I have to thank the whole organization and PFW, Stacey James, everybody.
Sounds like an acceptance speech.
Great.
I know. Your mom. And did your friend? You had a friend with you, right? Did he enjoy it?
Oh, he had a great time.
Is he a Patriots fan as well?
Yeah. We've both been fans our whole lives, so.
But he didn't have to spend $50,000 to get here.
Nope.
He just rode your coattails.
He got to go for a dinner and a drive. He drove and paid for dinner. That was about it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. I should do that. If I could get someone to drive me around, I would pay for dinner. I hate driving.
All right, Dan. Well, we're going to let you go, but we're glad you had a good time, and thanks for checking in.
Well, it's just another $50,000. We'll see you back here in about a year and a half.
Sounds good. All right.
All right, Dan.
Bye-bye.
So, Fred, are you here or are you not here?
I'm not here. I'm waiting. Did you tell our listeners?
Yes, we've gone over it.
The second hour?
Yeah.
Of course, the second hour doesn't start at 12:15.
No, I know, but I was thinking that maybe somebody was going to get lunch.
Oh, that would be great if you could
do that. Somebody could have been you, because clearly you have some time on your hands.
That would be great if you could do that while the A-team is taking care of the show. We've turned the page, by the way, on Deion Branch.
Team.
Whoa, hey now. Jeez.
Fred, we've turned the page on Deion Branch.
Yes, we've definitely turned the page.
And well, you should.
And Andy and I have made the point that if right now, if I was a Jets fan, I'd be very, very afraid.
Really?
I think the Jets are going to get pounded on Sunday.
Really?
And I think that the whole letdown.
Really?
The whole letdown, lingering hangover kind of thing, that happened last week.
Well, I don't...
They were affected, in my opinion, against Buffalo. I think this is going to... They're going to treat the New York Jets like
the 2003 Patriots treated the Philadelphia Eagles, only the Jets aren't anywhere near as good as the Eagles were, so it's going to be even more of an abomination.
Well, I, you know, surprise, surprise, I think the Patriots are going to win this game, but
I'm stunned.
I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be, you know, not like last week where the Patriots are necessarily beating themselves, but I think it's going to be right down to the wire.
Interesting. So, I kind of side more towards Paul, I think.
And not because of Deion Branch.
I think if it's down to the wire,
you
I
think
we
the
have
two
some
teams
concerns.
Are that close?
I just think early in the season, division game, you know how I feel about these division games. You never know what's going to happen. I think Magini's going to have his guys up for this game. They come off a win. So now, hey, maybe this is working.
I think there's a lot of
maybe,
patting on
know,
the back going on in New
yeah.
York. That's why
well,
I'm worried.
Yeah.
That's why I think they're going to get killed. I think they're very satisfied with the fact that they, you know, had Mangini's program sort of validated in their minds that, you know, see, yeah, well, we can win
but
if we do this
But that builds your
stuff.
Confidence.
Yeah, but
gives
I think
you a little
feel,
swag.
I think,
false confidence.
Yeah, and
maybe.
I think, and I relate it to a similar thing. I think Buffalo actually had a similar reaction last week. I think Buffalo looked around late in that third quarter and said, wow, we got a 17-14 lead going into the fourth quarter on the road against. We played pretty well today.
Yeah.
And they were happy to
yeah,
play
yeah,
a good game.
Yeah, but I think it worked against them. Because,
absolutely. I think it's going to work against the Jets on Sunday.
But I think you got a guy like Losman who looked, hey, you got a 17-14 lead. Oh, my God, I could win this game, and then falls apart. I don't think Pennington will do that.
No, I think clearly you're right. Pennington's a better quarterback than Losman. But my point being that I think the Buffalo Bills were really satisfied with their performance and felt like they had done enough. I think right now the Jets are going to have some of that same kind of feeling. I'm satisfied that we're supposed to be a bad team. We already got a win. You know, we didn't start. You know, Mangini's looking at it and saying, you know, I don't know, am I going to be 0-5, 0-6, 0-7? No, I already got that win out of the way.
Right.
You know, and I think there's going to be a little bit of satisfaction going on in Hempstead, New York. I think they're going to get pounded.
Okay,
I really do.
You think it's going to work against them. I think it works for them in that it gives them in the game, makes them play hard, competitive. And they'll lose, but that will keep them close. It'll keep them competitive.
I just come back to Paul's argument, and I think you look at the Jets right
you
now.
You,
he never
can
agrees
I finish
with
it?
Me.
All right.
Jesus.
Can I finish?
You have a Jets team with a couple young offensive linemen that are starting. Questions at running back, whether they're going to have a running game at all. And Pennington, who, in my mind, I know he had a great week last week, is a questionable quarterback. So not only do they not do two things well, which are the teams that give the Patriots trouble, I'm not sure they do either thing at a high level.
Right.
I think the defensive front of this Patriots team is going to confuse, dominate,
and
destroy the Jets.
I agree. And that's going to
why is it going to be close?
That's going to keep the Jets points off the board. But I also think that the Jets defense playing hard is going to keep the Patriots off. Remember, hey, all the stuff that you guys are complaining about against the Bills just didn't go away in 1 week. Okay, they still don't have.
I tell you, the offensive line played significantly better, you know, half into the game.
And they will probably be able to run the ball, but not as.
Well, seven of the points right there was them kind of pooping themselves in the first play of the game.
Hold on for a second. Now, you know, you guys go back and forth on me here.
Because we analyze it. We don't stick with one path like you do. We take it step by step each week.
You were telling me that the Bills' defense isn't that good.
It's not.
It isn't.
Well, the Patriots only scored 19 points against this defense that wasn't that good.
Okay.
I think the Jets' defense could be better than the Bills this year.
I think it is probably better.
Okay,
than
so
the offensive line is not.
I'm not expecting Tom Brady to go 11 for 23 for 100 yards again. I just don't
and
think
I'm not
that's
expecting Matt Light and Logan Mankins
they
to go in two different
game,
directions
Fred.
And let Jonathan Vilma run untouched
if I've
through
learned
Brady.
Nothing,
the Jets are going to allow the Patriots to run for 183 yards.
No, but if I've
okay,
learned,
that's
but if
so
I've
maybe
learned,
they'll make it, up for that.
I think they'll run for 120.
Okay,
it's a pretty good running game right now. I don't know if you've noticed.
Okay,
Bill Belichick just said they're the best pair of running backs he's ever coached.
I think there's a chance.
All this stuff that you were worried about coming off the Bills game with the Patriots offense hasn't gone away.
I don't know exactly what you thought that I was worried about, quote unquote worried about after the Bills game. I think the Patriots did not play well against the Bills and they won. That to me is the sign of a good team, to not play well and win. I don't know where you got all these worries from. Just because I didn't think they played a great game, it doesn't mean I'm sitting there shaking in my boots for the rest
of the
season.
Who they gonna throw to? They don't have any wide receivers. Well, they still don't.
Right. Well.
So what's
and they still have two very good running backs in Bill Belichick's opinion.
Are the Jets that much worse than the Bills?
The Jets are about as bad as the Bills, I do think.
Well, that was a two-point game.
I don't see the Patriots playing as.
First of all, subtract that score at the first play of the game because I don't think that's going to happen again.
But even if you want to say that is going to happen. Have you seen anything in the last 5 weeks? When was the last time you saw the Patriots in your mind play poorly on consecutive weeks?
Well, they've had a good team. It doesn't happen that often.
Are you saying they don't have a good team? Have you flipped the switch?
You guys said that.
When did we say it? We all picked them to go 12-4.
We are saying that they're going to come in and have a good game against the Jets.
We all picked them to go 12-4. All four of us.
I mean, you think it's going to be a 3-2 game or something?
You told me before the game that the Jets' defense stinks.
It does.
Well, they held the Patriots to 19 points.
Are the Patriots going to be a 40 points per week offense? No.
The Patriots did not play well against Buffalo. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah,
I don't think they will not play well on consecutive weeks.
Okay.
I have not seen that happen since Tom Brady's been the quarterback. What happened?
I agree that the Patriots won't play poorly.
That's what I'm basing it on.
But I also think that the Jets will play better than the Bills play.
You know what? This is amazing to me. This is role reversal.
Yes, and I don't get it. It sounds staged.
It does. If people are listening, they're going to think that
I
we're making this up.
I started this out by saying I think the Patriots are going to win.
But yeah, apparently but like 3-2 or something.
I think it's going to be a scratch and claw game.
Well, I mean, I suppose I can't dismiss you. I mean, to say you're wrong, I don't know. Who knows? No one knows before the game what's going to happen. I happen to think
I happen to think
the Patriots will play better than they did last week, and the Jets are as bad as Buffalo. So I think the game will be easy. That's
okay.
why.
Okay.
That's what I'm basing it on.
Okay. Can we get to some emails now since we only really now have a half hour to read emails?
I was piling up
but that was good.
That was good. I mean, as I said, it sounds like it's staged because Fred is arguing the Patriots stink.
Believe me, it's not.
Oh.
You're arguing they stink. They can barely compete with a bad football team in the Jets, a team that's going to win 6 games all year. So you're clearly worried after one
week. You were the one telling me how good Buffalo's defense was.
I still think they are.
So then why do you think this is going to be a close game? The Jets stink.
I don't
Jets' defense is not good.
I think when you have an AFC East division thing, I think their defense isn't that bad. I think they're not going to score a lot of points.
Who do you think has a bad defense? Give me an example of a team that you think does have
all
a bad. Because you don't think the 30th ranked team and the 31st ranked team are bad. So who do you think is
all
bad?
All the things that Andy said, I agree with about they
Who's
can't run the ball. They don't really have a running back. You know, they might have Pennington's number. They have two young guys on the offensive line. Yes, that will keep.
I'll be honest with you. The only thing that even remotely concerns me is Pennington.
That will keep the Jets points off the board.
Not because I think he's that good, but just because I think maybe, you know, he's fresh. He hasn't played a lot. He's coming off a really strong opening game. Maybe he's got a little confidence. I mean, he has shown in the past the ability to play well.
Right.
I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he has shown in the past the ability to play better
he's efficient and he can manage.
He's a top half quarterback. If he's going well, he's in the top 16, not in the bottom 16. That kind of concerns me a little bit, if he plays well.
Yeah, but I think they have no offensive line, no running game. If you make him one-dimensional, he has to throw the ball 35 times, I think they
lose. I also
lose.
Don't dismiss their offensive line because they have rookies. I think that they have they have two guys that are pretty good. The Patriots had a rookie play every game last year.
He was one
of their best linemen. And
he
heard
rushed for 2.2 yards per carry or whatever.
Well,
I think
they're running,
them.
Their running backs aren't good. Yeah, but
I think
what's the cause of that? I don't know.
But they also threw for 320. I don't think, Andy, they also threw for 320 yards. So maybe they didn't have to run.
Who?
The Jets.
No, I know. But I just think
but
when you have young offensive line.
Tennessee's terrible.
Exactly.
Although I don't know if you think they're terrible. Maybe they're good. I don't know.
Okay.
You don't think
on.
Anybody stinks.
Okay.
Listeners, you got to see when Paul does that, he puts his hands up in the air like a little
Radio.
Girl.
Because you think everybody is good.
JJ in Ventura, California. Junior Seau in the front.
The blinders on and pretend everything is hunky-dory.
Junior Seau in the front seven is the subject headline. Gentlemen. Was it just me or was Junior Seau over-pursuing on a few plays? There was a play where a Bills running back reversed his run behind the line and ran back to the left all the way across the field for a gain after a Patriots defender took a really horrible line and totally failed to close off the route back to the middle of the field. Was that Junior? I was really unpleasantly surprised that the Bills were able to run up the middle for much of the game. How much of that was lack of film versus poor execution, and how much, if any, should we expect this to continue?
I thought that was Mike Vrabel, actually, on that play. Didn't he miss the tackle on that?
The play?
When he kind of reversed field. Maybe I'm thinking of a different play.
I think those
are kind of broken. I mean, I don't think necessarily – you can correct me, Andy. You played more defense, more linebacker and stuff, obviously. I don't think that play was necessarily because of lack of pursuing or staying or whatever. I think they had him hemmed in. They had the play stopped, and McGahee made an individual effort and got out of it.
And it happens.
That sometimes their guys make a play and beat your guys even when your guys do the right thing.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe you had a different opinion of that play
I'm
than
not
I did.
Really seeing the play in my head, so I don't want to talk specifically on the play.
It was like a 16-yard run, like where he completely reversed field and went back up toward the Patriots sideline and ended up getting the corner.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I'm not saying that everybody in the Patriots played the play exactly the way it was supposed to, but I think that sometimes
it happens. And he's a pretty good running back, so he's going to make some plays against you.
Bill was very complimentary, by the way, of Junior's game.
That's what I would say. He clearly did not have a bad game.
Talked about he gave him one, he was one ball. Of the game ball award winners. He mentioned one play in particular today that he described in the press conference on the safety.
Was that the safety?
Yes, the Ty Warren safety, where... he felt that Tully came in. He said that Junior was instrumental in that play. Tully came in, went for the strip, missed it, and that allowed Lossman some time to kind of shift a little bit to his left. And he looked downfield to the tight end. Evidently, they were trying to get the tight end deep down the seam. And Bill described Junior Seau as being right with the tight end about 35 yards downfield, which was an outstanding play. And that allowed Ty Warren the time to get there for the sack. Obviously, that was the safety that ultimately won the game.
So he was in pass coverage on that play.
Yes, he was.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify, make sure we're talking about the right play.
I understand.
You know how it can be. But, yeah, I think Junior has played, from what I've watched, you know, individually kind of looking at him on certain plays, I think he's played pretty well since, you know, first couple weeks here.
To be honest with you, I didn't notice him a whole lot on Sunday. When he first got here in the first preseason game or two, I was watching a lot of him, and we were kind of arguing a little bit in the press box as to whether or not we felt that he was performing on plays. I didn't watch him a whole lot this week. He made 8 tackles. I got to tell you, I missed 6 of them. I mean, I didn't really notice them. But at the same time, I didn't notice him out of position at all.
Right.
You know, and never once did I see him, you know, flying through a gap and maybe taking himself out of a play the way he's been criticized about in the past. I thought he probably played a pretty solid game based on the fact that inside linebackers are kind of, they're not necessarily going to show up with all these game-changing kind of plays. The outside linebackers in the Patriots scheme do, and we saw Roosevelt Colvin showing up in that capacity a lot.
And then the one thing I'd say about the giving up some of the run up the middle, there were times, and I don't want to take a shot at the guy here because I think he's a really good guy, but I remember one play in particular where they had a nice run up the middle, and I said, ooh, Don Davis was on the field, and they just gave up a big play up the middle.
Well, I believe they were in nickel on the 18-yard touchdown run by Anthony Thomas. I think it was a first-down play.
Don Davis played some significant downs in
a
nickel package.
That's a very good play.
And I think that played into it, whether it's something specifically game plan related they thought they could do and it didn't work as well as they'd hoped. That wasn't necessarily your 3-4 starting defense getting gashed by their running game. There was, you know, some substitution there that led to it.
And don't you think, Andy, that Don Davis, as much as we both like him, probably won't be part of that nickel package when Bruschi's back and ready to go full bore?
Probably not. I would say probably not. Although, you know, again, he's in on the goal line, and both he and Izzo are in on the goal line, so probably one of them's going to be in.
Well, Izzo was on the goal line last year. Remember?
Right. I know. So one of those guys is going to play.
Altercation with McGinnis.
Don Davis looking jacked out of his mind, by the way, recently.
He's big.
Just wanted to throw that out there. He's been wearing a lot of the white Under Armour, and boy, does he look inflated.
That's why you want the cheerleaders to wear white Under Armour, right?
Oh, yes. It
white spandex.
It accentuates the curves, both in men and women, whether it be, you know, breasts or pecs, and it's good.
She's hot, too.
He's got to take it all the way, Fred.
What?
I'm
just explaining myself.
All right.
She's hot, too.
Who's this checking in? I don't know. They don't leave a name. Hannon. Glenn Hannon. State of affairs. It appears to me the Patriots have put a business and football operations model in place. Other successful franchises have done this, specifically the Steelers. If you want to stay with the organization, you have to leave a little money on the table. However, if you want the big bucks, you will not be here. This has happened with every single free agent that has left the Patriots. I think the Givens contract was a killer for the team. It set unrealistic dollar totals for a number two receiver. The same thing could be said about the Randall L. contract as well. Seattle now has Deion slated as a number one and will have to structure the remaining wide receivers around that contract. If Deion is a high number two wide receiver, which a number of evaluators put him at, then the Seahawks will have cap issues or diminished depth due to limited dollars going to their tier two players who make up the largest portion of the team. I have one criticism. I think the team should identify players they feel are core individuals and renegotiate their contracts before they become free agents. This way, they could get the player they want tied up for the price they want. This, of course, takes good talent evaluation, which I think this team has. The Steelers have been criticized for letting free agents walk, only to reload through the draft and sticking to their philosophy. I think as long as they hold true to everything, they will be fine.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Every free agent who leaves every team in any sport, it's because of money.
Right.
Not just the Patriots.
No, I agree with that.
Okay.
Right.
What's your point?
Well, it's just like, you know, every time a guy leaves the Patriots, it's because the Patriots wouldn't give him enough money. Yes. That's why free agents leave teams, not just the Patriots.
But that's not what the guy's talking about. The guy's talking about that the Patriots, generally their free agents leave. Not every team has their free agents leave. Pittsburgh, as the emailer pointed out, is very similar. Most of their free agents ultimately leave.
Well, I would
Philadelphia is another example.
I would say that
Colts re-sign all their free agents.
The Colts generally re-sign their guys because that's their philosophy.
Core guys.
Right.
They let Edgerrin James go.
Right. That's one guy. Give me another one.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of lower-level guys that have left. I mean,
there's guys that leave everybody.
Exactly.
But the Patriots don't necessarily retain a lot of guys.
Well, maybe
Colts
they
have. Well, with big money deals. It doesn't mean they're right, Fred. They haven't won anything.
I'll bet you that it's no different on the Colts. More free agents have left the Colts than they've retained. Wouldn't you say so?
You need to establish a level of player.
Okay.
And I would say no, that's not true.
Okay. If you're dealing with a certain philosophy, Reggie Wayne,
Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning.
But Fred, Bill Polian has admitted. He's admitted
Harry
that's
Brackett.
Their philosophy. He said,
a lot of guys.
You know,
Dwight
we weren't
Freeney.
Really interested in Adam Vinatieri early.
It's the same as the Patriots that they've retained.
What I'm trying to say is I think if you checked out a level of like a bottom, like a basement level of salary from 2 million a year or 1 million a year and up, I'll bet you the Colts have retained more than the Patriots have. That doesn't mean they're right, Fred. Matter of fact, I think you can make a good argument that they're wrong and it hasn't worked for them.
Right.
So don't mistake my argument here, but it's what they do. Bill Polian is on record as saying he doesn't necessarily pursue the free agent
Adam Vinatieri. He wasn't going to get
him
the Adam Vinatieri sweepstakes because they don't do it.
They don't generally sign anybody.
And then they found out,
their own guys. That's what they try to do.
I would say that most teams, when it comes to free agency, look at it by a player-by-player.
They would say all teams do.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with
you.
But
there's a philosophy.
I wouldn't take that email as a criticism. I think you're kind of taking that email as a kind of a critique of the Patriots system.
I don't think it
was meant to be that, and I don't think there was anything wrong with it.
I think the emailer is saying the Patriots should do a certain thing, and I think that's exactly what they do. You know, they do look at certain core players. Now, the email may not agree who the Patriots have identified as those core players. But that's exactly what they do, is what the emailer described.
Well, I think that is something that's to be in question right now. What are the core players? Beyond Brady,
you would have thought that Deion Branch would have been one of those core players.
Well, and I think,
but are we going Ben Watson's a core player, and he'll be re-signed. Are we going Asante Samuel? Are we going Dan Copeland?
I think the Patriots thought he was one of those core players,
and I think they did. Exactly. I think that, you know, they thought he was, too. They made him an offer. Now, the years weren't right, or how much money, you know, the allocation of the money wasn't right. And I think there's other things that were on the agenda of Deion Branch and his agent as far as getting more money now and so on and so forth. Whatever the reason, it didn't work out. But I think the Patriots, you know, they have that level, and, you know, for each player, and they're not going to, you know, bend past that level.
Right. Ty B., subject heading PFW. Hey, guys, great job on the show. Just wanted to say that. Why is it that Patriots fans act like Bill Belichick is God? Don't get me wrong. He's a great coach. I just believe it was proved last year he needs good players to win a Super Bowl.
So
it's not all him. And another thing, why is it that everyone seems to think that everyone else overpays players in free agency? It's the Patriots who are underpaying players. So if they keep on letting good players leave bitter from New England and bring in players like Eric Warfield and Rishay Caldwell to fill in our holes, I don't see the Patriots going to a Super Bowl anytime soon.
I'm going to repeat it. Every player who's left every team, it's because that team didn't give what that player perceived as enough money.
Well, I think he answered his own argument. They brought in guys like Eric Warfield and Monty Beisel, who they just missed on. They weren't a good enough player to make your team and help your team.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you replace Ty Law with somebody else who suddenly has, you know, you bring in Ty Poole, like his first year here where he contributes, if that's Eric Warfield or Dwayne Starks, things look different. But you missed. You swung and missed on your evaluation of a certain player.
There's no doubt that they missed on those guys. But to say that because the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl last year,
To be fair, the team sells it as come here to win.
I understand that, but, you know, you have 43.
You know, we had an email the other day say, good luck, Deion, going to Seattle where you won't win any Super Bowls.
Super Bowl less in Seattle.
Well, you know.
They were in the Super Bowl last year.
That's silly. But it's equally silly to say because they lost in the second round of the playoffs last year that Belichick's system can't work.
No one's saying it can't work, but how long can you live on come here to win if you don't win a few years in a row?
But I agree with what Fred said. The system obviously works.
A few years in a row.
That's what I'm at. I mean, is there?
We haven't got there yet.
But is there? Is there a point where it's 2-3 and free agents now go, why would I play for less there? They haven't won in 3 years.
It's the same thing with Pete Carroll. I mean, he had a system. Maybe his system could work somewhere else, but the Patriots saw a steady decline from where they were, so they had to make a decision. The same thing would happen with any
but
coach.
But will the Patriots have to change, modify their philosophy on value?
Yeah, they modify their philosophy by getting a new coach.
They're not going to fire Bill Belichick. Will they have to modify the philosophy they put in place?
Well, if
will they start to have to sweeten the pot a little?
I'm Robert Kraft, okay?
Okay.
And Belichick has instilled a certain philosophy.
I always thought you were.
You know, he's instilled a certain philosophy, which I've bought into as an owner. I'm saying, okay, go for it.
Yep.
If after a few consecutive years I see a steady decline and there's no willingness to adapt, I'm going to have to do something as the owner.
But I'm talking about the guys who make the decisions. Because in theory, Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli were hired to make decisions.
Right.
What they do football-wise is what we're going to do as an organization. Will they be able to, or will they need to, tweak their philosophy on value? If they go a couple years and can no longer sell, we can't pay you the most, but come here to win.
I mean, if they can't pinpoint, like, well, the reason we lost this year was because Tom Brady got hurt, yeah, they will have to reevaluate.
Okay. That's all I'm asking.
Don't you think?
I think, but will they?
I can't believe that they're that stubborn.
I think they're pretty
stubborn. If they're stubborn, Monty Beisel would still be on the team, and Eric Warfield would still be on the team.
And the linebacker
that they picked this year would still be on the team.
That's just being stupid.
They've realized that those guys couldn't play.
Wait a minute. There are guys. There are GMs in this league.
No, I disagree.
You don't even know what I'm about to say.
There are GMs in this league that would keep the guy because they took him. Because it was their handpicked guy. And I think you're wrong.
No, I've talked to guys. There are GMs in this league.
Who have you talked to?
Guys on teams that have this problem. There are GMs in this league who tout how many draft picks are still on their roster as an indication of how well they've done.
Well, that's fine. But
that's not the same thing. This is a missed talent evaluation.
Well, you know, that's not the end-all be-all that I drafted 40 guys during my regime and 38 are still on the roster.
If you think it is, you're a bad GM and you're not going to win.
Exactly.
That's not the same thing that we're talking about. We're talking about, you just said, Monty Beisel would be on the team.
Because that would be a sign of stubbornness.
They thought that he fit something that they tried to do. They brought him in and realized that he didn't.
Right.
There's no stubbornness involved. No one would keep him if they came to the conclusion that he didn't
fit.
I'm
telling you, our GMs.
And that's also football related. That's all, and I don't think anyone is going to question their football on-field coaching and that stuff. It's the market, playing the market.
Yes.
There are two different questions here.
Their whole football thing, I think, is beyond reproach. The guys that have left here and the talent, they have not been burned, but, you know, they haven't been burned at all. You know, you can't – I just can't see how anybody could question that.
And
I agree totally with Andy.
But even that argument, you know – I don't even play into that because let's just say somebody did leave and did well. Well, so what?
Right.
Maybe.
Well, that's my whole argument. Like, you know, I know that the fans kind of hate when we talk about the Red Sox, but right now the Red Sox are being killed late in the summer here.
Baseball's
because there's
different.
Because there's several guys out there that are having success. Well, so what?
Yeah, it is so what.
So
but,
what?
But baseball's a completely
what are those guys doing?
Sport.
I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
So you bring in a guy and you lose a guy. What's the difference? I mean, you didn't do that on purpose. You didn't necessarily miss on the guy that you traded.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
There are guys that the Patriots have lost that have had success.
But it's problematic to compare baseball because if you're a 350 hitter, you're a 350 hitter. But if you're an inside nose tackle, well, you may not do well on another
team
because of how they do
things.
In
other words, the Patriots didn't let Damian Woody go, just to use him as an example, because he was just up on NFL Network a little while ago. They didn't let him go because they felt like he couldn't play.
Exactly.
They didn't let him go because they didn't think that he was a good offensive lineman. They let him go for a value reason.
Right.
Okay? He has still been a good player.
Right.
He's just probably not worth the contract that he signed in Detroit.
Dave Wallabuzz, another good example. I mean, that was before Belichick came, but he became the highest-paid
center
in the
football.
League.
He wasn't the best center in football. He shouldn't have been the highest-paid
exactly.
one.
Plus, Damian Woody, if he was on a Super Bowl team, would be getting a lot more credit than he is because of the team he's on.
That's
but I just think that whole argument of none of those guys, well, you know, like Ty Law last year.
Right.
Okay.
Well, he didn't hurt you, but he had a good year.
He had 10 interceptions and went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
you don't
so
think that would have helped the Patriots?
So I'm not buying into that argument
that
as a way to validate this regime. I validate this regime on what the results are, and the results are good.
Very good.
Okay,
you can't really compare with anybody else in the last 5 years.
Ethan Hackett checking in. I was listening to the podcast last night of yesterday's show. You guys reiterated your point that some other team will be willing to invest more money into Dan Graham. I understand your point that another team might decide that he is being improperly used in the Patriots system and decide to give him more money as a pass-catching tight end.
Tom said that yesterday.
But realistically, how much would they be willing to invest into him? We know the Patriots are willing to open the checkbook for positions they value highly. By the way, I said that yesterday.
No, Tom was on the well, maybe you said it to Tom, and Tom repeated it.
Oh, yeah. Value highly. Wide receiver not being one of them, given Belichick's history. Other than defensive line, what other position have the Patriots shown they value more than tight end? How many have they used draft picks on so far? I see no reason to expect them not to offer him a good-sized deal that might seem higher than he's worth based on just his receiving production, but enough to keep him in the fold and have the tight end mix that Belichick was trying to achieve for 5 years now.
Yeah, well, now here comes the warning that I'm putting up, okay? They'll make him a deal, and it's probably going to be a lucrative deal, but if Dan Graham has a number in his head right now that he thinks he should get, and it's not in line with the Patriots, Dan Graham could be the next free agent to go.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots.
Don't be surprised.
I don't think the Patriots will offer him a lucrative deal. I think they'd like to have him back, and I think they'll offer him something, but I don't think it'll be a lucrative
deal.
Okay,
do you think, what if Dan Graham is thinking I should be paid in the top five tight ends in the league?
Well, that's stupid.
Peace out.
I think that. You know?
Well,
I don't know.
First of all, I think that the number one reason why I don't think Daniel Graham will be back here is because I don't think he likes to be used as an extra offensive lineman. And that's the way he'll be used here for more often than not.
Okay, so that's in his head. I want to be a pass-catching tight end, put up the numbers, get in the Pro Bowl.
I just think
he's going to
want
to be paid
more
like that by his next team.
And you can sell it that way. You know, look what I did in college.
I don't think it's going to cost here.
I haven't been asked to catch the ball as much, so I haven't put up the numbers. But you can spin it however you want to spin it.
So let's get prepared right now, Patriots fans. Let's not jump off the Tobin Bridge.
See, but I'm just telling you, I think that you can try to convince yourself of that, but Daniel Graham isn't going to sign with a team that's going to give him top five Pro Bowl tight end money.
No one's
going to offer him that.
Well, you know,
that's not what he's going to be looking for.
I never underestimate
the
stupidity of my competition.
Well, I mean, you can go off on that little crutch that you like to use that everybody else in the league overpays except for the Patriots. But it's called market value.
Everybody, but there are guys.
I know Pittsburgh doesn't.
There are guys every year who are overpaid.
Pittsburgh used to do that, but they won the Super Bowl last year, so now
their
system works too.
There are guys everywhere in every league that are overpaid, so I don't doubt that somebody gets overpaid every year.
I didn't say that, but we think in New England that everybody is overpaid, not that there are people that are overpaid.
No, we don't. We don't.
You two are just like...
I don't. Maybe you do.
No blending today, just everything.
I don't think there's nearly the amount of overpaid players in the league that you do, let's put it that way.
How do you know what I think?
Can I read an email? You guys need a minute. Mike Moretti wants to talk about Brady and Branch. Brady said that if it were up to him, Branch would still be there. Well, I guarantee you that if Brady offered to give up a few million of his salary for Branch, the club would have been happy to oblige him. I am surprised at how few people, including players, realize that the team had no choice. They would have screwed up the team a lot worse in the long run if they overpaid Branch like Seattle did. I do believe we will see more holdouts around the league in the future. Many players will think they can hit the jackpot like Branch did. Also, I'm really amazed at just how much of an emotional effect Branch had on these guys. He must have had a real great personality. Thanks, Mike.
He did have a great personality.
Still does.
I mean, you know,
I know outside of New England, he still does. Andy's right.
Ask the community relations department, who probably volunteered for more things.
First guy to volunteer for a number of things, from what I've been told.
Not only if it was up to Tom Brady, if it was up to me, he'd still be on this team.
So you would have chipped in $10,000 out of your salary?
Would you have overpaid for him?
No.
Would you have overpaid for him?
No.
Was he overpaid?
Well, you know, the thing about that is, you know, you look at his current deal that he has with Seattle, the amount per year isn't that much for that the Patriots offered him, but it's just more years and more guaranteed up front. That's all.
Was he overpaid?
Is he overpaid?
Well, you know, it's up to Seattle. If Seattle wants to pay it, then that's what it is.
Do you think he's overpaid?
I wouldn't have paid that much.
Okay, but then you just made a comment that the Patriots'
offer
was pretty much
on my team, he would
have
been
overpaid. One of those things can't be true.
On my team, he would have been overpaid. On Seattle, maybe.
On my team, he would have been overpaid. Fred, you know what? You are very, very good. I said the same thing to Glenn Ordway the other day. You are very, very good.
Yeah.
Mike also wants
great
to know.
Semantics with you.
Why is Jackson wearing 17? Isn't 88 his college number? And isn't it available?
Actually, number 8 was his college number, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, too.
Not 88, 8.
And is
88.
88 is available, right?
I thought they retired that when Terry Glenn left.
Yeah, Walter Rasby wore it in training camp, right? So no one's wearing it now.
Did you see, speaking of retired numbers and guys who aren't, Stanley Morgan, did you see the note the other night, I believe on Monday Night Football, that only three players in league history have had 80-plus catches and averaged over 17 a catch?
And Stanley Morgan's one of them?
It's Jerry Rice and Stanley Morgan in the same season. I think it's 84 or 85.
Stanley Morgan was
Patriots bias in Santana Moss last year.
The Patriots get no respect.
Well, it's not the league's fault that the Patriots won't retire Stanley Morgan's number or put him in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the top five players in franchise history.
Absolutely should get more recognition.
Troy Brown knocking
on his
door.
Don't blame that on the league, Fred. Don't blame that on lack of respect.
Troy Brown's about to pass him in something, isn't he?
He's about to pass him in catches, but
but yards, he'd need to double his career.
Yeah.
He'd need to play till he was,
he could play until he's 127 and not catch him in yards.
Dave DiNuzio wants to talk about Hobbs. How would you rate the performance of Ellis Hobbs in the Buffalo game? Do you think he has shown progress from where he was last year and from where he was in training camp?
I thought he was rock solid against Buffalo, and the fact that they locked him up with Lee Evans, I think, was impressive. And, you know, it's funny, that was talked about today in the press conference a little
bit.
But
how much of that do you think was that the Patriots felt that they could lock him up with Lee Evans because Losman may not find him half the time?
Well, I think that that might have had something to do with it, but I also think that they worry a little bit about Samuel with some of those guys on deep balls.
No question.
And, and Lee Evans is a home run guy. Like, the next team that they play, the number one receiver, it might be Samuel they asked to lock
Hobbs
up with.
Hobbs has the speed over Samuel.
Yes, and I think that he also is more physical, although I think Samuel will stick his nose in there.
I think they're both pretty physical,
but I think he's strong.
At that 12 yards when they might turn the hips and need to run, I'll take Hobbs over Samuel.
Well, you know, one game isn't the whole thing.
No.
We were in camp saying, boy, Hobbs isn't having that good a camp.
He had a crappy camp.
I thought the first couple of days he looked terrific, and then from that point on he really, really went down.
And he got down on himself. He really started to show some frustration,
right,
throwing his helmet and kind of sulking after plays.
Well, he tends to do that, and I don't know if it's a positive or a negative, like how upset he seems to get. But like even on one of he only allowed two catches to Lee Evans the other day. And on one of them, he was clearly beaten. Evans made the catch, went to the ground, and it was like he refused to admit that the play was over. He kept, I mean, the play was long over. He was trying to fight the ball. I actually saw one story that I read that said that he almost took the ball away. No, he didn't. The play was long over, and he was ripping the ball out of Lee Evans' hands. It was almost like you were like a little kid in the playground saying, no, it's the game's not over until I say it is.
Too over.
He's clearly an open book. I mean, he celebrates when he makes a play. When he gets a little bit down or gets beat, he shows that he wears his emotion on his sleeve. Like.
But I thought he was very good on Sunday, and I look forward to seeing him in that situation again where you can really.
So is he one-on-one with Coles this week?
See, now that'd be interesting. I don't know if they picture Coles maybe doing the same kind of deep stuff with Pennington might not necessarily, you know what I'm saying? Lee Evans is a real home run threat. I'm not sure. I mean, I know Coles is fast, but I don't think it has much to do with the speed.
Pennington's accuracy, I think you'll look at more of a zone type.
Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate that this week. Something to keep an eye on. Maybe I'll do my analysis on that.
Okay, good. Stephen Stewart has an odd question, and I think it is odd, and I don't think any of us will have an answer. In all of the Madden games since Belichick has taken over, the game has labeled the coach of the Patriots as any coach. N.E. coach. Is Belichick that bad that he can't even have his name associated with fun, i.e. a video game?
I don't know how that works. What about the other team?
That's what I don't know either.
Yeah.
Maybe he's smart, because if he's smart, he has down the road Belichick, 2011, Belichick the video game.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
All right, here it comes.
You know, the whole renewed friendship
he would have an answer.
Bam,
between he
it.
And Parcells, they're going to come out with their own video game when this is all said and done.
That'd be good. That would probably sell.
As well as TV talk show.
Madden will probably be dead by that time.
Can you imagine Parcells and Belichick with their own talk show?
Oh, it'd be great.
It'd be like like Wayne's World. Like only one guy does all the talking.
It'd be like Rodney Harrison and Ty Warren on EEI, Patriots Monday. Rodney does all the talking, and Ty Warren goes, I agree. Gary Hatch, great job, guys. Love the show. This is Gary from Syracuse. Seems the only way to get your email read is if you give a compliment.
All right, don't read it.
Okay. Sorry, Gary. Fred said I can't read it. Louis Nova, hello, guys. I think this...
What?
That was good.
What?
All we needed was like the EEI, like.
I think that as a fan, I was disappointed with the team performance on Sunday, especially on offense. But I want to know your inside opinion on which areas you looked and said, hey, this is a strong point that the team can rely on, besides 39, obviously.
What?
Well, I would go with the defensive line. Strong point the team can rely on. I mean, I think
based on Sunday or just based on generalities?
Both. I think the front seven is going to be solid. We had an email earlier that talked about how concerned he was with the way that Buffalo was running the ball. I was not nearly as concerned with that.
I wasn't either.
I thought that one of the biggest plays was a broken play that we had talked about. And they caught, you know, Anthony Thomas's touchdown run. They caught the Patriots in a bad defense. They were a nickel on a first down play. And they caught a seam and took advantage of it. I don't think that Buffalo ran the ball as effectively as
some other people do. Bruschi's coming back.
Yeah, I think he's going to play this week.
So, I mean, that just deepens them even more,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And they should get better week to week.
And we talked about it. Colvin is really coming on.
Yes.
Colvin played a strong game. He was very, very active in that game. Very, very active.
And he liked it, too. He kind of bragged about himself a little bit.
Well, he had a good game.
And he should. I mean, he's been through and up and down, and he was once kind of elite, and it probably feels good to actually get to a level like that again. Sean McLaughlin, Sean and Hazleton checking in. I like the comment you guys made yesterday, must have been Fred, I added that in, about the glass being half full.
Actually, that was an emailer.
There's a shock. Fred thought the glass was half full.
They got no chance against the Jets.
Oh, Tom, you got to hear some of this, by the way. It's going to be a squeaker down to the wire. The Patriots are a bad team. It's unbelievable, some of the things coming out of Fred's mouth.
You're smart enough to know that's not what I said.
I said they're going to blow the Jets out.
I did say it's going to be a squeaker, but I didn't say the Patriots are a bad team.
It should be. Hello?
Nothing. I'll read the email while you get that fixed. I look at the Deion situation as Deion felt he had leverage since we let Givens go, plus deals that Randall L. and Wayne are getting, plus this nonsense of him not being forced to sign a 5-year deal, which is so bogus. But the Pats are at fault, too. They underestimated how this turned out. I don't think they thought it was going to go this far, and sad to say, were caught flat-footed. In other words, both sides were at fault. Like any divorce, it took two. The only regret is that if the Pats knew this was going to turn out like this, David Givens would still be wearing Pats blue, but they felt they had to had Deion in the fold. Time to move on to the border war. I see a close game, like Fred, and I think it will be another low-scoring game, and it may be up to the ghost. Is he now the ghost, the kicker? Look for the Pats 24-21.
I like the Jets.
You like the Jets this week?
Well, he picked the Jets in the paper.
Well, this is my reason.
That was because he was all
cranky. No, but my reasoning is that I believe there's two emotional things going on here. I think the Patriots are going to beat the Broncos by 4 touchdowns at home next week. And I think they've kind of been waiting for that game all offseason. Now you throw all the Deion Branch baggage on here. I think you're going to have like the calm before the storm where the season really starts next Sunday night against the Broncos, because I just think they're going to whoop the snot right out of them.
Wow, looking ahead. Tom Casale, looking ahead.
Who cares about it?
Interesting.
Hey, they kept asking if this was a big game yesterday. Tom Casale says no.
Alex Sanders, hey, P-man. All right, Gary's not playing along. I think that guy wanted the Chris Berman P-man thing. Keep up the good work. One quick thought. Tom Brady is undefeated in the Meadowlands 5-0. Can Mangini be a treat to that streak?
Wow.
I don't know what that means. Sean McLaughlin, here's some Pats Jets trivia. The Pats and Jets had some memorable games in September in history. There was Ray Claiborne's longest kickoff TD return in 1977. Paul was there for that one.
Under the 1 yards.
The 1979 Pats massacre.
He had
massacre.
His first date that for that game.
The Pats 1979 massacre with Grogan throwing for 5 TDs. That's
56-3.
Here's a little trivia. What year was a Pats record for most rushing yards against the Jets, and who set it?
1997, Curtis
Ray
Martin.
James.
No, I'm going to say...
Tony Collins, 212 yards.
1983.
212 yards,
83 is correct. Tony Collins, 212, correct. The brain trust, that is, Kirsch and Perillo. Get it done. How long are we going here, Gary? Should we take a break? Top of the hour, 1 o'clock.
Let's get to those last two emails, and then we'll do it.
You want me to run through the... Okay. Deion Branch, what else Jared at URI wants to talk about? I kind of laugh at this whole situation with Deion Branch and the players the Patriots have lost the last few years. I don't know what it is, but the national media is just obsessed with each and every personnel loss with this team. Edgerrin James, a major loss for the Colts and their running game, has been talked about yet overlooked in comparison to Branch, Givens, McGinnis, Vinatieri. You would think the Patriots just traded Jerry Rice for a fifth-round pick the way people talk about it. I'm surprised ESPN didn't have mass coverage when Tim Dwight or Gus Scott left. Also, I think Richard Seymour is a little ridiculous calling the Dion Branch departure 5 to 6 times worse than Lawyer Malloy was released.
And that's very poor to me.
I think that's pretty absurd. And by the way, did you see the breakdown of the contract Dion signed in Seattle?
Well, Dion Branch is 5 to 6 times better than Lawyer Malloy was.
Maybe they liked him
six
times more.
Hey, Lawyer. I'm Fred Kirsch. You probably remember me.
I set him up for that one.
Hey, Lawyer.
We'll see you in Seattle next preseason.
Hi, Dion.
Jared says the contract looks like it could be a one-year deal.
For who?
For Dion.
Well, it's set up that
way. He's got about $23 million guaranteed.
Actually, it's...
Well, they can cut him at next year, and it's like a one-year $9.75 million.
It's unlikely,
like that.
But it can be a one-year deal.
Right.
I thought he got $13 million in a bonus.
It's not true.
He didn't.
He did not.
Okay.
He got, I believe, there's a $6 million roster bonus.
He got $9 million this year?
9.3.
Then he's uncuttable.
Well, it's unlikely.
He's uncuttable
right.
after
unlikely.
1 year because they're not going to take a $9 million cap hit next year, or 4.5 to cut him.
Jeffrey Moore wants to talk about the NFL replay and the linebackers. I was able to watch the Bills-Pats game last night on NFL Network.
Yeah, but those are built-in roster bonuses, Paul.
Did he get a $9 million bonus this year?
Is that reason?
No, that's what his salary adds up to this year.
All right, well, you guys are telling me different things.
No, that's what his salary adds up to.
Can
9.3.
Y'all set?
But they can get out of it, Paul.
You can get out of every contract.
I'm just
right?
saying, without a major
NFL.
Hit.
Well, it doesn't sound it based on what you just told me.
Well, they had all the numbers in the paper today.
But
it doesn't sound like
a major hit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's not a major hit to me.
Plus, it's a 6-year deal, and he got $7 or $8 million something yesterday when he signed the deal. So that's divided. It's like a $1 million hit.
So
this
yes,
year.
You can cut him.
Otherwise, it's going to be like a 6-point-something hit next year.
Right.
You're going to have a ton of dead money,
and you can still cut him.
Right.
Absolutely.
Cut anyone.
But you would avoid
it. Tom Brady could have gotten cut 3 days after he signed his six. Yeah, but they're not going to do it because it's too big of a hit.
Right. Okay. I was able to watch the Bills-Pats game last night on NFL Network. What a great feature. And take a look at some of the line play and other things you usually don't focus on during the live game. I don't know if you touched on it, but it looked like we were able to go into the 4-3 from the 3-4 personnel by putting Vrabel or Colvin at DN and shifting Seymour or Warren to the tackle position. I know I've heard we've moved to some 4-3 play in the second half, but it seemed to me that that was more of a result of trying to confuse Buffalo than the lack of play from the inside linebackers. Also, was it me, or was Tom Brady crying at his press conference yesterday? Anyway, to confirm, he has Dion Branch's name tattooed on his thigh. Chris Sims has made that a popular thing to do. I hope Brady's demeanor is not indicative of the team's overall mental state.
A couple people came to me and said, what was going on with Brady? You know, because usually he's not one to, like, look at a poor performance and come up with an excuse.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for it.
So then some people were speculating that maybe he was told to kind of say that to kind of tell these other wide receivers, here's your opportunity.
Are you crying? Or
you know, you better get on the ball because the quarterback doesn't have much faith in you.
Did he tell the line, here's your opportunity, give me more than a second to throw the freaking ball?
I just think there haven't been very many opportunities for Tom Brady, to have an excuse.
It just seemed like a little out of character.
I just think that maybe the reason for that is that he's so good. He doesn't really get in a position where... how many times have you looked at after a game and wondered why he played badly and said, I wonder how he's... You know, one hand. You can count him on one hand.
But he's just not...
He has in the past a little
bit.
You
know, even the Denver game.
The crown of the field.
You know. Well, that was one. Yeah, I mean,
that's
early in his career.
But there's not very many games where...
The Colts game.
You know, the Lawyer Malloy thing was kind of a built-in one. I mean, he hasn't had many games. He's so good that there hasn't been very many opportunities for him to come up with an excuse.
So maybe you're saying we're seeing a side of Tom Brady.
I'm wondering if the guy just likes to win so much that he can't take losing.
Before we get to the break...
He doesn't do it well. You know what I'm saying?
Alex in Somerville checks in with a potential answer to the Madden question. I guess Parcells is known as Dallas coach. In the game,
there you
and
go,
the
Fred.
Coaches have independent
I'm here
licensing.
Thinking, okay, we get the extra.
Is now is Parcells known as fat conservative coach too? Because he stinks.
Oh. All right, emotional Tom Casale. More of Tom's emotion, Fred's idiocy, Paul's babbling, and my tremendous hosting in the second hour of PFW in progress in just a minute.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band.
ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents The Rolling Stones. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. With special guest Kanye West. Don't miss this rare chance to catch the North American finale of their best show ever. The Rolling Stones, The Bigger Bang. September 20th at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. Also appearing, special guest Kanye West. Now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 617-931-2000. The student discounts available. After the Rolling Stones, everything else is just a concert.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Pepsi Smash!
Pepsi Smash gets you closer to your favorite artists every day. Together with Yahoo Music, Pepsi Smash is online in a big way at PepsiSmash.com. It's unexpected, it's personal, and it's all made possible by Pepsi.
Hey, what's up? It's Ben from Breaking Benjamin. Check out our latest single, The Diary of Jane. That was The Diary of Jane from our latest record, Phobia. To find other hot performances and go behind the scenes with your favorite artists, log on to PepsiSmash.com. It's what's happening in music.
Pepsi Smash. It's music in a way you won't find anywhere else. Get behind the cameras. See exclusive performances and features like A Day in the Life, interviews, headlines, and contests. Log on to be a part of the Pepsi Smash and Yahoo Music experience. PepsiSmash.com. It's what's happening in music.
Pepsi Smash.
Most loved and enduring band, traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents The Rolling Stones. Bigger September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. With special guest Kanye West. Don't miss this rare chance to catch the North American September 20th at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. Also appearing, special guest Kanye West. Get reservation tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 617-931-2000. The student discounts available. After the Rolling Stones, everything else is just a concert.
This is PFW in progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mocky, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists,
and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right. We're back in season. That
be
means
hard. All jacked up.
We're doing our picks. Now, I don't know if you guys explained it clearly in the first hour, but we need to.
He just automatically assumes that you did not.
You won't.
That you did not explain it clearly.
We need to give our listeners a little programming information. Last year, the second half of our Friday show from 1 to 2, we always went around the NFL and did our picks. This year, we're going to do that on Thursdays from 1 to 2, do our picks. And the reason for that is on Fridays from 1 to 2, we're going to be joined by Michael Felger, who is now doing Patriots Friday on ESPN 890 in Boston. We're going to simulcast that show from 4 to 7, but he needs to use the studio to do some one-on-one interviews with players. So he'll join us from 1 to 2, and in the times where he has a player to interview, you as a listener to PFW in Progress will be able to hear that live before anyone else in the world gets to hear that interview. They'll play it again back when they do the show later on in the day, but you'll hear it live as it's happening. So that's pretty cool. It's kind of neat. Gives you a little bit of heads up on what's being said later on in the day.
Just so you know, Fred, Andy described it perfectly.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did explain it very well.
Okay. It was so good that it left Paul speechless for 5 minutes, longest he's ever been without chatter on this show.
He just doesn't like the idea of being in the same room with Michael Felger. Is that correct?
Who, Andy doesn't?
No, you.
Why?
I don't know.
First of all, he won't be.
Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. I'll be up editing. Paulie,
so,
Paul
it'll
Perillo
be
or at a wedding.
Patriots Football Weekly.
It'll
I'm
be
not leaving until 2.
To do that and have Mike in the room.
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
Mike's been on the payroll for a while now.
No. I think he's turned in his membership to the Kool-Aid Sippers.
You know, now that he's more of a radio guy, he's got to be
no question.
A little
doing
bit
the
more
same thing Fred
and,
did
and
earlier
we'll definitely,
in the show.
We won't hold back when it comes to making fun of him for that.
No.
You know, so if you're coming into the lion's den, you better come with your claws out because we're going to come at you.
Come over to 54's locker. You better have accurate information.
Right, Sheriff?
Right.
Okay. All right, so let's get to the picks. And what happened last week? I mean, I know I was on a bad run, as it was everyone else.
I think it was fairly evident what happened, Fred. You know, generally what happens is everybody, you know, picks the games, and you come at least a couple of games behind everybody.
Yeah, when did your bad run start, and when is it going to end?
Tom Casale, it was a subpar week for everyone because Tom Casale won the week with just a 9-7 record, which is not a very impressive winning score. Andy and I both went 8-8, which is terrible. And then Fred went 6-10.
Oh, my God, I am the winner.
I tell you, as every year, you start slowly. Once you
finish slowly.
At the end of the season,
I have to go
I'll
back and get my last
week.
Notebook from last year to
I'll
see what you finished.
Every
was
yeah,
saying
yeah,
this
he's never won.
15. He's waiting to catch his stride.
Actually do that. All right. Let's start with the 1 o'clock games. There's no Thursday game this week. Thank goodness. I don't like Thursday games. I'm sorry.
Football. See, I like Thursday games better than Monday night games because Monday night, the whole week's ahead of you.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose your sleep. But Thursday, you feel like you can suck it up for
I
Thursday
like,
night just
I like
to work
games
on Friday.
Sunday at 1, I think.
Well, know. I mean, I do too.
Yeah. All right. Sunday at 1 is Buffalo at Miami. It's a good one.
Yeah, I'll go with Miami here. I think they'll bounce back. I'm not sure if we saw a better Bills team or just a Patriots team that wasn't ready to play, so I'm not really ready to jump on the Bills bandwagon.
And you know
yet.
What? It's good because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
I'll go with Miami at home.
Yeah, I'll go with Miami at home, too. I think they're the better football team in general, and hopefully Dante Culpepper will play a little better because he's my fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, I like Miami, too. I don't think the Bills are very good, and my only concern is Culpepper. You know, I don't think he's healthy.
How's Charles Rogers doing? He's trying out with the
Dolphins. I saw that.
Not going to make a difference.
I heard somebody say, hey, who are they going to try out next? Ray Carruth?
It's like we were saying yesterday. I mean, if there's a warm body to be found, the Dolphins will bring him in and give him a shot.
Yep. What are you doing, Andy?
What do you mean?
You're not even paying attention. You're flipping channels on the TV.
We got some pretty cool new TVs down here I'm playing with.
But that's not for. No, you should be concentrating.
He's looking
on
for
the show.
Teacher. I just saw the teacher. I'm hot for teacher.
All right. I'm going to go with Miami as well. I think, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Taquio Spikes, but he says he's going to be ready this week. But I don't know why he wasn't playing in the last game.
Well, how about Troy Vincent?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
I mean, did he actually have the hamstring, you know, surgically removed from his body?
He admitted he'll be playing in a month.
Yeah, but for what team?
Right, a different team. I guess he went on the radio and said, I'm on the short-term IR. I should be ready to go in 4 weeks or so for another team.
So they're going
to
release him?
It sounds like he may have already reached an injury settlement.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of got
that. What a strange story.
I kind of got that feeling in the locker room. I was just like listening to some of the Bills reporters talking.
So they just want to go with the. I was just going to say they just want to go with the two rookies at safety, and they don't want any part of Troy Vincent.
Well, what's that all about? I mean, is there a problem with Vincent and the team?
Maybe they like the rookies. Maybe they're just trying to get younger and faster.
They actually played pretty well.
Because Buffalo is a family. I can't believe that they would have this type of problem.
Because it was really messed up.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, lawyer.
All right.
Hey, lawyer. Meet you after the game.
What are you doing later? Meet you out back.
Dion, it's me, Fred.
Sunday at 1. Carolina at Minnesota. What type of team is Minnesota? It was a big win. Big win.
I'm just going to go based on Carolina's past history, which means they're down 1 week, up another week. So, I don't know.
Steve Smith going to play?
That's the thing. It seems like when you start questioning Carolina, they win. Then when you think they're good, they lose. So I'm going to go with that trend and take Carolina on the road.
Okay. I think Andy's going to go with the Vikings.
I don't. I'm off the
really?
Vikings.
Really? Okay.
You know, I was a big Mike Tice fan. As soon as they let him go, I jumped ship. So I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers on the road. I picked them to be a Super Bowl team. I think they're a very good football team. They need to show it and win a game.
All right.
Yeah, I like Carolina, too. I am concerned, again, with the Panthers' injuries. They seem to get hit right out of the gate a lot with serious injuries. They lost Travell Wharton, their starting left tackle for the season. Dan Morgan's not going to play this week, concussion. The whole thing with Steve Smith, that's definitely a concern for me, whether they can get out of this hole. But I agree with Tom's philosophy when it comes to the Panthers. Just when you think they're in trouble is usually when they play their best.
These are the kind of games they usually win.
I like Minnesota. I think that they're
what do you attribute that win over the Redskins in Washington to?
No, I think it's a good win.
I think they're a better team than Washington, flat out.
Brad Childress has done a good job of putting something there, you know, and they're going to build on that. And, you know, Minnesota looks like they could be a good team. This is a tough one. I'm just going on
Carolina's past history type thing.
You know, where you think, oh, now they stink, then they win. Oh, now they're great, then they lose. And
jackpot. At the risk of having Tom make fun of me, I will say that I'm not surprised by the Minnesota win over I don't think Washington's very good. And that's why. I think Minnesota is a decent pick. No, only because you're going to make fun of me because I picked Minnesota. And I went 8-8. I didn't get very many other ones right, but I got that one right. I think Washington is an overrated team.
Does not look good right now, that's for sure.
Of course, they'll probably smack Drew around again like he did last week.
Well, if this was in Carolina, I'd pick Carolina just like that. It's in Washington. They're coming off a road win.
Who's in Minnesota?
I mean, it's in Minnesota. They're coming off a road win. I'm going to go with the Vikings in this game.
Okay.
You know, for the win their season home opener.
Yeah, certainly not a bad pick, Freddie.
All right.
Unlike your usual 6-10.
Okay, this is a big rivalry. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Tom.
Cincinnati. I don't care what kind of rivalry that is. The Browns don't have a chance.
Okay.
I agree. Cincinnati. One of the best teams in football.
Paul?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I got to go with Cincinnati. They're just going to put up too many points here. Let me ask you just a question here. Just
championship.
Do you see any correlation in the matchup, in the difference between the teams in the Cleveland versus Bengals game and the Patriots versus Jets game?
Say that again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're all coming out saying Bengals are going to win this game, no doubt.
So what are you
asking? Though it's an intradivisional rivalry, Bengals are going to win this game. Do you think that you look at the Patriots and Jets game this week the same way?
I do.
You do?
Individually, yes.
Okay.
I think the Jets aren't a very good team, and I think the Patriots are.
I just think it's a tough spot for New England. I wouldn't be surprised if they win. I just think it's going to be a tough game.
Okay, I'm just – because I think that the Bengals are going to win this game. But, again, early season, interdivisional, I think it's going to be a little closer than I think if this game was played later in the season.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, there's a lot of big spreads this week, so the gambling folk are probably going to take a hit.
There are a lot of double.
You don't want to lay 14 points in week two. I don't care how bad the Raiders look. I ain't laying 14.
Well, we'll get to that game. Okay, so we're all going with the Bengals in that game. All right.
I love the Raiders and the points in that game, by the way.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. All right, still Sunday at 1, Detroit at Chicago.
I don't know who they're playing next week, but take the points.
I kind of like Detroit in this game. I'm going to go with Detroit.
Really?
I think they played a much tougher team last week. I'm unsure about the Chargers and the Bears because I thought they played JV teams. The Packers are a nothing
team. They are awful. So yet they did beat them 26-0.
Yes,
so that's what you should do to a bad team.
But they got a punt return, and you know their offense still didn't rack up a bunch of yards. I thought Detroit, I was pretty impressed with the way that they played against Seattle. I don't think they could have scored 41 points like Roy Williams said. I'm going to go with a little upset here. Go with the Lions.
Okay.
I'd like to go with the Lions here. I like Rod Marinelli. I think it was a good sign to get into a dogfight like that for the first game of the season. Obviously, it'd be better if you could win it. They didn't, but I just think the Bears are a better football team. I think you know you saw that defense is going to continue to be the strength of that team, and I think they'll probably do enough to win.
Let me ask you, Andy, with Marinelli going into Chicago, you know, the old stadium, are they going to wear helmets for this game?
Yes, but leather.
But they're going to arrive 10 minutes before the game.
I'm going to take Chicago at home. I think they're the better team, although I do share Andy and Tom's enthusiasm toward the Lions. I think that is a team I think that could be in that division hunt, and it would be tough to lose this one because that would be 0-2, 2-0 right off the go with Chicago. But I think the Bears are just a better team.
Yeah, I got to go with the Bears in this game. And I like Rex Grossman. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
Well, he needs to stay healthy and play a full season, and then we can make an evaluation.
Okay, Sunday at 1, Texans at Indianapolis.
Well, this is an easy one, the Texans. They drafted Mario Williams because Peyton Manning's in their division. So I'm expecting that they'll shut the Colts out and win 55.
Well, that is funny. That was the reason why they said they took Mario Williams over an offensive player is because Peyton Manning was in their division.
And now they're trading for a running back. I mean, what's he going to do against Peyton Manning? I don't understand it.
Well, that's the problem with the Texans last week is they got Mario Williams for Peyton Manning, but they didn't worry about Donovan McNabb, evidently.
Right.
They said, well, we'll let him throw for 320 yards and not worry about getting in his way.
Did you ever think maybe to beat Peyton Manning would be to keep him on the sidelines with, like, you know, a running game?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
You know what? All right, you guys, you talked me into it. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go with the Colts here. That's the Texans.
Colts.
Yeah, Colts.
Yeah, you got to go with the Colts in this game. All right. Saints at Green Bay, Sunday at 1. Tom.
Didn't I tell you not to ask me those?
That's right. You're going to go with the Saints. Andy.
I'm going to go with the Saints, too, and I say Reggie Bush breaks a couple big plays against the Packers.
Okay.
Yeah, New Orleans. Can you imagine I'm so adamantly in favor of New Orleans on the road in Lambeau Field?
I won't even speak about the game.
Wow, can you imagine being a Green Bay Packer fan at this point in time? I mean, here's a guy that you probably grew up with or, you know, for the last decade, you know, was Larry Bird of Green Bay. And now the guy's almost hurting your team. Well, he is. He's hurting your team.
He thinks
he is deliberately hurting your team.
Well, I don't think he's deliberately doing it. I think he's still trying.
I mean, he's got to be
a lot of selfishness.
Exactly. You have to be really self-indulgent and just clueless if you don't think that what you're doing right now is hurting that team.
Well, Fred, to speak to your point, at least they're a family. They get out at 1 o'clock on Friday.
There you go. And they ride bikes at training camp.
Yep.
Can we talk about that?
They're barbecuing together, and so everything's good.
Yeah, that'll last long. You watch. They're going to stop that pretty quick. Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints as well. Green Bay, man, it's just – and Michael Felger's a big Green Bay fan. He's from Wisconsin. So
he's a big-time Packer.
Who's doing the show tomorrow, by the way?
Me and you.
What, really?
That's the Friday show.
Every Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless you want to edit.
Fred does not.
Oh, no, happen. I'm not going to do every Friday and then have to do Thursday at from 1 to 2 every, you know, every week, too.
What do you want me to do?
You got to redo the schedule.
Why?
Because I'm not doing every Friday and every Thursday.
Do you want to edit on Fridays? Because that's why you and Tom are
users clicking off everywhere.
And we can have this conversation off the air.
Oh, it's PFW in progress. People want to know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Go back to your cribbage or whatever you're doing in there.
Cribbage.
Okay, New York Giants at Philadelphia Eagles, 1 o'clock.
This is a tough one. I picked the Eagles to win the division, so I guess I'll stick with them early in the year until they give me reason not to.
Yeah.
I don't think the Eagles are as good as they looked last week. I don't think you're going to see Stallworth, you know, 30 yards wide open all the time. But I think he shows that you give McNabb a receiver to work with, he can take advantage of it. I think the Eagles, I'm going to take them.
Okay.
Plus, I hate Eli Manning.
You hate him?
Hate him.
Why?
I just hate him. He rubbed me the wrong way from the get-go with the whole, I'm not going to play in San Diego, blah, 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 blah.
You hate him for the same reason you hate Isla Brown?
Just because. Well, there's a little bit of a hint of the, you know, rich parents who baby them and, you know, all that kind of crap. I don't like those kind of people. Along those lines, Sean McKeels beat Tiger Woods today, 4-3. Round of applause. Tremendous.
You don't like Tiger Woods.
Andy did not like Tiger Woods.
Andy was right all along about that Tiger guy. He'll never last.
He stinks.
He's only going to win like 10, 15 more majors. But after that, man, he's going right down
his time is just short window.
Yeah, once his knees go, he's done.
I can admit he's good. Doesn't mean I have to like him.
I think he's great. All right.
He is great, but I don't like him.
I think he's fascinating to watch as well. Not only is he so good, but he's... Great TV every week.
As long as those cameras don't make any noise when they're zooming in and cause him, you know, he's the only one affected by it.
No other golfers do that kind of nonsense.
He's the biggest jerk on the tour.
Geniuses often are.
Anyway, I like the Giants in this game, Fred. I don't think the Eagles are a very good football team. In stealing Tom's line, I think they played a JV team last week in Houston, and that made the offense look a lot better than it really is.
But let me ask you,
I think the Giants played reasonably well on Sunday night against the Colts, and I think they would have had a reasonable chance to win that game if not for a really, really questionable offensive pass.
That was awful. Yeah,
that was terrible.
Now, I'm not saying that meant they were going to go down the field and score the way some of these other national talking heads have been spewing all week, but I thought that was a bad call, and it obviously put the Giants in a big-time hole.
Let me ask you, why do you think that the Eagles aren't that good? Because they still have a lot of talent on that.
I think they've lost a lot, and I don't think they have nearly the amount in replacing that they've lost. And I think, first of all, I've kind of wondered, during their run of success, I kind of wondered just how good they were. I thought they were the product of a very bad division.
Yeah,
now I think that division's pretty good. So instead of getting six cupcakes, they had the Campo Cowboys, Giants in a rebuilding mode for the most part, and Washington was down for a while. Now they have... You have no easy spots in that division. I don't think Philadelphia stinks. I just think that they're with the Washington as the lower end of that division, whereas Dallas and the Giants, in my opinion, are at the top.
All right, Andy. Last week, by the way, remember how we thought my AFC NFC thing was shrinking?
Yeah.
It didn't prove so last week. The AFC.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
They won all those tough games. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was actually in agreement with you. I thought it was, but apparently.
Yeah, one week, yet. You know, what's. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Giants. Not only did I pick them to win their division, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. So they got to start winning eventually.
In order to get to the Super Bowl, yes, that's accurate.
No team has ever gone to the Super Bowl while going winless.
Exactly. So they better start winning, and this is a good time to start against another NFC East team. So I'll go with the Giants this game. Okay, here we get to the Raiders. Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens, 1 o'clock.
I'm going to go with the Ravens, obviously. I just don't know what to make of the Raiders. I can't remember watching a game where I seen, in the NFL, an offense that couldn't even cross the 50-yard line. I don't think they'll play as bad this week, but they're not going to beat Baltimore.
Baltimore. I think the Raiders, I propose this theory to Tom.
Probably the worst team they could have played this week.
I think they're cleansing. I think Art Shell is playing the role of ML Carr. He was brought in to get rid of the bad eggs, lose games, get high draft picks, and in 2 years we'll hire a good coach.
Let me ask you a question. We kind of talked about this yesterday.
Art Shell's a good coach. Art Shell won a lot of games there. I think he's
a cleanser.
Let me ask you a question. You know, a lot of people, including people on the Raiders, can't figure out why they were willing to give up Doug Gabriel. Do you think that there's some agreement beyond that the Patriots have with the Raiders that this will be the first step toward a multi-pronged thing that we're doing with you?
No.
I don't understand.
Well, for example,
there's another trade they've already agreed to.
If you're trusting Bill Belichick, just by his word.
I've read a lot of comments out of Oakland that think that Doug Gabriel was having a hard time running pass routes and adapting to a bigger role. And I've heard his teammates, specifically Randy Moss, say what a bad trade it was because that's what teammates do. That's the same thing that the teammates in New England did about Deion Branch.
Plus, those two were apparently very tight.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not blaming Randy Moss and saying that he's wrong, but I think it's his friend that got
traded. Oh, okay. So it's okay when... Okay.
No, I think the same thing.
Okay, all right.
I'm actually...
No, I get it now.
What are you saying? Because I don't.
No, I understand.
I'm actually comparing them, Fred.
We shouldn't worry too much when Randy Moss says it about his team, but when Richard Seymour says it, the sky's falling.
No.
Okay,
no.
The Raiders are going to win three
games
this year.
You just missed the whole point.
To win the Super Bowl.
You think that Doug Gabriel is a budding All-Pro because Randy Moss said what a big loss it was, but yet Deion Branch is not a loss for the Patriots at all, yet
I never said he wasn't a loss.
Is in mourning.
I don't know if you weren't listening when I...
So now saying Richard Seymour and Randy
Moss,
same type of leader?
I guess you weren't listening earlier when I said if it was up to me, Deion Branch would still be on this team.
But no one said that it didn't mean anything that Randy Moss said. I think it's just it's a natural teammate reaction, just like Tom Brady said.
Okay, Tom couldn't figure out why they traded him.
That doesn't mean that they should or shouldn't have traded him.
And with an offense that is what it is right now, with the lack of firepower they have, why would
I know the receivers are the problem in that offense. You're right.
I don't know, but why do you...
Ronald Curry and Randy Moss were the reason why they couldn't move the ball the other night. It had nothing to do with the quarterback getting sacked nine times.
The problem I have with the trade is you had a guy who was projected to start on opening day, then you trade him, and then Jerry Porter is
inactive. Right.
I'm not sure where they're going there,
right.
And I don't know if they know.
Well, I think
why are you saying right? It's totally
Gabriel
contradictory to your point.
No, it's not. It's not.
Right,
he was slated to start.
Okay.
Right.
He was slated to
exactly.
start.
Exactly.
And then they realized he wasn't a starter.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you knew you're having trouble with Porter, why do you trade your other receiver?
No one's saying it was a good trade or a bad trade.
Curry, correct?
We don't know until we see Gabriel.
And don't they have
here.
A young guy?
Just Witted and
Witted?
Curry.
Yeah. I mean, they have receivers. They decided
receivers
that Gabriel,
aren't Oakland's problem. Did
and they decided they didn't want Gabriel.
Doesn't mean it was a good trade for Oakland, but receivers aren't their problem. They have a lot of other problems. Anyway, I like Baltimore to win the game and Oakland to cover because Baltimore is not as good as they looked last week, and Oakland can't be as bad as they looked.
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I think, they're going to just kill them.
All right.
Kill them.
Okay.
And they'll be lucky if they score a point.
I'll have a side bet with you.
What?
That Oakland will cover the spread.
What's the spread, 14?
It was like 12 or something like that.
No, it's up
well,
two
see,
over 2.
You know, now you're putting faith in the Ravens' offense to do that, and I don't know if I have
you
that.
You just said they're going
to
kill them, and Oakland's not going to score a point. I'll bet you number one that they'll cover, and number two
kill them.
That they'll score more than 10 points.
I think 10-0 is killing them.
They'll score more than 10 points.
Who will?
The Raiders. Double or nothing.
Wait a minute. You think that the Raiders will score more than 10 points?
Yes.
Okay, I'll bet you on that.
Okay, and they'll cover.
Well, no, that's all I'm betting.
No, double or nothing.
No, I'm just betting that the Raiders will not score more than 10 points.
Doesn't sound as confident as he did when he made the pick, did he?
I don't know. The word kill
means
cover the spread.
Killed and not score a point.
The Raiders will not score more than 10 points.
Now we had to up it to...
Then you should cover the spread.
We had to up it from there to, well, I don't have that much faith in the Ravens' offense, and, well, 10-0 is killing them.
Well, if, you know... If
no, it's not. 10-0 is not killing them.
If you get two first downs the whole game, that's killing them.
What if the Ravens get two first downs and, you know, score on a fumble recovery for a touchdown?
Then they didn't kill them.
You just said 10-0's killing them.
Yeah, but that's not the case. You know, you can paint any scenario, and then I'm wrong. You know?
All right, we'll keep it at the Raiders will score 10 or more points.
Okay. 10 or more. Okay.
Deal.
All right. What's the bet?
Whatever you want.
$1,000.
Now I'd be interested if this is $1,000.
Let's make it something different than that. I don't have that.
Ooh, is Perillo a
I don't have that kind of money. I mean, no bet's a sure thing, Andy.
You're making a lot of money in your side gigs. You got $1,000 to
blow. No bet's a sure thing, Andy. I don't have that kind of money to throw around.
How about...
Here's Fred. Nikki would kill him.
Well, how much do you owe me from last year?
For what?
From the bets that we made.
For the fact that you went below 500 for 14 out of 17 weeks?
You want to make
$5 not on these things,
way.
On the other
what could I possibly owe you money about?
No, you owe me stuff for things.
For what?
Guys making rosters and all kinds of things like that. The Red Sox.
What about the Red Sox?
You know.
You bet me that they weren't going to make the playoffs. The same bet, by the way, that you make with me every year, and you finally won it. You were bound to win that bet one of these years.
Last year, I was the one when they were five games under that.
Anyway, we won't get into that. But anyway, all right, that you're on for that first.
You want the school paper?
$10?
Sure.
$10?
Sounds good.
All right, that's
good. I can afford $10.
How about lunch for all of us? The loser has to buy lunch for all of us.
You guys aren't in it.
Why should you get in on it?
I love these people that try to include
Good try, though, Andy.
But they can't lose, you know?
Worth a shot.
Took a shot.
All right. Sunday at 1 still. We got to hurry up here. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was listening to Brian Billick, and he was talking about John Gruden and how they do more motion and blah, blah, blah than any team in the league. And I heard Belichick say the same thing, and it's funny because they didn't score a point against either
Shut
team.
Shut out both teams.
So I'm wondering how good a coach this Gruden is with all his motion and everything. But having said that, you know, the Bucs are my team. They usually do well against Vic. I'm going to go with them to rebound this week.
Okay. Andy.
Where's the game?
It's in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. I'm going to go with the Falcons at home.
That's
but
a speed, baby.
I do not feel overly confident with it.
Yeah, I like Tom's pick. I'm going with Tampa Bay because I think that they really bother Vic more so than the other teams in that division that see him a lot.
More so than herpes?
Tampa Bay. And I don't share Tom's enthusiasm for the Bucs overall, but I like them in this game.
I don't have quite the same enthusiasm.
This is a tough pick because you don't know who these teams are yet. You just don't know. But I'm going to go with Atlanta, riding off the momentum of last week and being at home. All right, we're down to the 4 o'clock games now. Let's go to the Cardinals visiting. Oh, Gary wants to break. He's going to go to the bathroom. We'll be right back.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves. Come on.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
World don't move to the beat of this world.
one throne. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of needs. Then along come two. They got nothing but the genes, but they got.
All right, back here at Picked Up in Progress, we're going around the NFL, and where we left off, we had reached the 4 o'clock games. This is a 4:05 start. The Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Tom.
Well, Deion Branch's presence energizes the Seahawks.
He's not playing.
I know.
The fact that he's not playing.
It doesn't need to.
Presence.
They'll score 40 points just because he's a happy-go-lucky guy.
Prove they didn't need him.
They're going to be loose. You know, his... I think they were asleep last week. I don't know if Arizona's got the defense to control them. I'll go with Seattle.
Okay.
Where's this game?
In Seattle.
Seattle. They're the better football team. Really? I usually go with the better football team.
You needed to know the whole, that's interesting. I like the Seahawks, Fred.
Well, if Arizona won this game, it would propel their season, but they're not going to, so Seattle. Okay, 4:05. Rams at the 49ers.
A tough one for me.
Why for you?
Well, just because I don't. This is the toughest game of the week for me to pick. I'm not sure about it because the Rams got a lot of.
I'm not sure about any of these.
I'm just saying
this hasn't changed in 5 years.
This was the toughest one for me to pick. Though I feel like the Rams had a lot of things go their way last week. I thought the 49ers played better than I thought they would. They're playing at home. I'll go with the 49ers, I guess.
Okay. I'm going to go with the 49ers, too. What did Frank Gore have last week?
He had almost 200 yards of total offense.
I'm going Frank Gore is going to be a breakout player this year. And he helps that offense take the pressure off the guy who can't throw a touchdown pass.
He had a pretty good game last week.
The tearjerker, they got at tight end. I'm going to go with that offense.
Alex Smith actually did play well last week.
North Turner, he can coach offense.
I like St. Louis, Fred. I personally don't think either one of these teams is very good, and generally
I
go with
a good handle on the Rams.
Generally, I go with the home team in these cases, but I just don't think.
Yeah, you just don't know with their new coach and all that.
I just don't think so.
You don't know.
I haven't had a handle on the Rams in like a year and a half.
Yeah, they're a tough team to
beat. I haven't since 2001, but that's
they're a tough. You know, Fred, you're right. They have been completely unpredictable since that loss.
Right.
So I'll go with them, but I don't think they're a very good team. I'm not fooled by them.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go with the 49ers because I want them to win. Not that I think, I don't know, but
well,
I think if
on the 49ers, I don't know if that's ever happened.
I think the Rams,
especially when one of them's Fred.
I think the Rams are right now the better team.
Trouble.
But I wanted the 49ers to win this game. All right, 4:15 game, Kansas City at Denver.
Denver at home rebounds. I don't think Kansas City's a good team.
Is Trent Green out?
No, yeah, when you don't have Trent Green.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who's playing?
Of the hospital yet? I don't think so.
Oh, another example of Carl Peterson just. You know, whining. You should put him and Polian in a room.
I missed that. What did he whine about?
Oh, you know, he wants to sue the league and sue everybody. And
about what?
Well, not sue. He wants the guy that made the hit on Trent Green to be fined and disciplined.
Oh.
It was a dirty hit.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Of course, so does everybody.
Ian and I talked about that a lot this
morning. They've shown
the
hit ad nauseum, and he didn't hit him with his helmet.
Well, not only that, but he got hit. The guy, Gethers, got hit from behind, knocked into him.
You know, so Peterson should watch the film before he makes these comments.
He also said both he and Edwards have been saying dumb stuff kind of about the offense, and this is the same offense run for 5 years. This offense didn't do so well in Washington the other night either. Shut up and win games.
And you know
don't
what,
talk so much.
You know what I was going to say? We talk about the Patriots. Talk about a team that won't go out and get any receivers. This team hasn't had receivers.
Right.
I mean, I guess you got to give Al Saunders some credit for scoring all those points without any receivers, because at some point that's going to catch up to you. And I think, you know, Eddie Kinnison's getting older now, and they don't really have anyone else to throw the football to.
I think they're a clear team on the way down.
Okay. And will it get blamed on Herm Edwards?
It should.
Yeah. Although Peterson needs to take some
blame. No. How can you – I mean, you think they're a team on the way down, and the guy inherits a team on the way down, and you're going to blame the coach?
I didn't say if it was fair or not.
I didn't say whether that would be fair.
I don't think he's a very good coach, but
I don't think it's going to come
down. Yeah, but you don't think Carl Peterson will try to shift the blame a little bit?
I would.
Well, If it's between his job and the coach's,
right.
Sure.
I'm no idiot. I'll take the Broncos as well. Even though a little bit of uncertainty there, I love it that the football world is finally on the Jake Plummer stinks bandwagon and that Jay Cutler is the flavor of the minute. And I'll be it'll be a happy day in the Hart household when Plummer's a backup.
It didn't take long for that, did it?
He stinks. He's always stunk. Now people know it.
Now, I like Denver in this game. In this particular series, I think the home team really, really dominates.
Hello?
So even if Kansas City was not a team on the decline, which I agree with Tom on, I would be going
win the game.
I would be going with Denver big.
Okay. I'm going to go with Denver as well.
Because right. You're a super fan for the Denver Broncos.
4:15.
With your John Elway boxers.
4:15. I hope those aren't as tight as the shirt.
4:15 game. Tennessee at the Colts. I mean, at the Chargers. I meant to say the Bolts.
I agree with what Paul said up in the press box. I think Tennessee is one of the worst teams in football. Go with the Chargers.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that is the case.
I think they'll open it up a little bit more this week.
You know, and if that's the case, then the Jets win isn't that big a win. But anyway, so you go with the Chargers.
The Jets' offense rolled against that Tennessee defense with 320 or whatever Pennington put up. I look for Phil Rivers to have a big game, and then that offense put up some points.
Okay. Paul?
San Diego. Too much LT.
Okay, I'll go with the Chargers as well. Sunday night, now America's
game.
Potential
there, Tom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Sunday night game.
Football night in America.
8:15, you got it. Redskins at Dallas. Well, here we go.
This is an interesting game because you got a team who tries to score and can't in the Redskins and a team that could score and doesn't want to in the Cowboys. So I think what you're going to get is basically your usual Dallas Cowboy football game where it's tied in the fourth quarter. I guess I'll go with Dallas at home, but I expect it to be much like last year's Monday night game where it goes down to the final minute or so between these two teams.
I'm going to take Dallas. I think the defense will have its way with Mark Brunell. I think Mark Brunell stinks.
I'll take Dallas, too, and I've learned to not get involved in conversations with Tom Casale, in reference to the Dallas Cowboys. I just kind of step back and let him vent, but I think everything he said was pretty much accurate.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys...
Same team as it was last year.
It is.
If you look at the way the Cowboys were playing last week, for a while, I mean, their defense looked dominant for a lot of that
game.
See,
and I know that I get accused of being the apologist, and I am. I'm guilty of this, okay? He was the reason they lost, the quarterback, Bledsoe.
Okay.
He was the reason they lost.
Ooh.
However, there were problems that were very similar to last year in games that Bledsoe played well that surfaced again. And you're absolutely right. For a quarter and a half, Jacksonville's offense looked as inept as at any time they looked in that playoff game against the Patriots last year. Dallas' defense was dominating. All of a sudden, on the drop of a hat, 10-0 lead, all of a sudden, they couldn't stop him again.
Right.
They could not even come close to stopping him again. That's not just the quarterback.
Mike Zimmer is under a lot of heat in Dallas. They're running the 3-4, yet they never blitz anything. You run a 3-4 defense, you're supposed to send people from the outside, edge rushers. You know what I mean? You're supposed to try to create mismatches. They got Ware getting mauled by a tackle, not helping. I don't know. I'm with Paul. You know, you got this 3-4 defense. Where's the pressure on the quarterback? You drafted Bobby Carpenter. You moved him inside. He's inactive for the game. Things aren't going well there.
Let's put it this way. When you have a defense that's supposed to be as good as theirs is, when you jump out to a 10-0 lead on the road against a team that's as offensively challenged as Jacksonville, the game should be over no matter what the quarterback does.
Right.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't no question the quarterback cost them the game, but they have problems up and down.
I think Dallas will bounce back in this game. I think they're going to win.
We all picked Dallas.
Yeah.
We just ripped them.
I was going to say. I think that everybody
saw it. We also
don't
think that Washington's that good.
But
so,
this is an indictment of Washington to me.
Right.
You know, with the way their offense is played, this isn't the kind of defense that you want to go and see. You can certainly make that argument for Bledsoe. The way he played last week, you don't want to see Washington's defense because it's a pretty good unit too. But I think that people are disappointed in Dallas. I think that a lot of, I myself, maybe with my heart, with Drew, I thought Dallas was going to be a Super Bowl contender out of the NFC. And based on one game, they're not.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. All right.
Based
so we're all, going with the
NFC?
Cowboys. Let's go to Monday night on ESPN, 8:30.
Well, the Giants, I thought.
That's the one good thing about the games that on ESPN, is they start a half hour earlier. Other than that,
What's the game?
Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
This is a tough one because I thought both teams should have actually lost in week one, and then they're each 1-0. So I'm still not quite sure how good either one of them are. But
is Roethlisberger playing?
I guess he's still lobbying, huh?
Yeah, he wants to.
He wants to.
He wants to.
How about Stroud? Is he playing?
He played last week.
Fred, you got to talk into the microphone.
Got the injury report?
I was asking Andy a question.
I know, but you still got to talk into the microphone, Tom.
I don't care. I didn't care if anyone heard.
The listeners do.
Well, I don't. They didn't need to hear that. I was asking
a side
question
conversation.
To make,
I know,
to make
but you can't do that on the radio.
I can do
it.
Says whatever
the guy
I want.
Who does half the show talking
here, where no one can hear him.
I'm going to go with. Since this is a toss-up game, I'm going to go with the home team. I'll take Jacksonville in a close one.
I am going to take the. I really need to know if Roethlisberger is going to play.
Okay.
Do we have any?
I'm looking for a injury report as we speak.
Okay.
But keep talking.
I will keep talking, and I guess
I'll skip ahead and let Andy have some more time. I like Pittsburgh in this game, no matter who plays quarterback for the Steelers. I just like, and I like the fact that they had that big win on opening day, and the fact that they were able to rest now, you know, for 11 days, right? Thursday to Monday. I think that's too much. Jacksonville, good opening win against Dallas for them, but I don't think that they're that good, and I think the Steelers are better.
Well, I don't think the Steelers are that good this year, although their defense is, but I think the Jaguars are going to pull what I think is an upset for this game. I think by the end of the season it won't be an upset anymore, but I don't even have the Steelers pegged for the playoffs.
Who did you pick?
I am going to take the Steelers. They ride their defense to victory.
Fred can take those one-point spreads and make them into upsets, unlike anybody else.
Oh, you don't think that most people think that
Jacksonville's
Pittsburgh
favored by a point.
Win. I don't care what.
And then have some team kill them. Oh, 14. No.
I'm going with the Jags.
This is not an upset.
Well, they're basing it on Roethlisberger not playing, right?
Well, that's part of it.
Okay. All right.
So am I the only one who took Pittsburgh?
No, I did.
I'm going to go with the Jags. Okay. Now, Tom is like, why did I pick the Jags?
No, me and you, were off Pittsburgh. We don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but aligning yourself with Fred, ooh, not such a good
idea. I didn't say it was right. I just said that's what we think.
All right. Let's go back to a 4:15 on Sunday. By the way, why is this a 4:15 game? Of the
I don't know. To make our lives miserable.
Why can't they just play it at 1 o'clock?
Sure, it's TV related, right?
Is it?
Who wants to watch this? Who wants to watch this game?
I would assume. But, yeah, but they're big markets.
Is this a national game?
The Giants play who? Philadelphia. That should be the 4 o'clock game. Because they can't be opposite each other.
Yeah.
But that should be the Giants. I think the Giants-Philly is better matchup than the Patriots-Jets.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They had it. One of
them
teams had to play at 4.
Right. If they both play a Sunday day game,
right.
One has to be at 1 and one has to be at 4.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, the Patriots have a grievance, or a tampering grievance, filed against the Jets. You think it was just something they did just to get in Mangini's head?
No, I think this has been I'm not going to put anything past them, but I think that they think that there was some wrongdoing. I think they're upset with the Jets for putting out the information about the trade.
He's smart.
Which I guess is not allowed. I mean, I don't know. These things, I think, are kind of tough to prove.
They've never had a tampering charge upheld.
Is that true?
I don't know. I've never heard of. I've heard of people filing them, and I've never heard of a penalty enforced on a team because.
And I'm not Bill Belichick,
so it's a long shot.
Strange situation.
I mean, what does it hurt? Make Mangini think of one more thing this week.
And I'm not Bill Parcells,
right?
I don't know how much Mangini will be thinking about it.
Well, you know,
he's thinking about donuts.
If he screwed up, if he did something,
thinking where his next meal's coming.
Yeah, he is getting a little heavy, isn't he?
Huge.
He's big.
He looks like
I didn't know
Michelin
if it was
man.
Just the shirt, the way the shirt.
Oh,
was.
I seen him in another one. He is huge.
Really?
Oh. He is fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I only picked against the Patriots once all of last year, and they went out and won 28-0 against my Tampa Bay Bucks. I guess I haven't been burned as much as you guys have, being the new guy here. So I'm going to go with the Jets.
Really?
In this game.
Based on what?
I'm just.
Didn't he argue for a half hour how close the Jets were going to keep it?
But didn't Tom just say that he only picked against the Patriots once last year and he hasn't been burned?
As much as us.
That's six times you got burned because they lost six games.
No, I mean picking against them.
Right.
Like for
I'm sorry.
Reasons I'm picking them, like that they're going to.
That's my bad.
Yeah, they're going to be like down bad. A little bit and it's going to take them a while to get going. You know, I think it's going to be a close game, and usually Brady comes out ahead in close games, but I'll go with the Jets here, see if I can get an upset.
All right.
I'm going to take the Patriots. I think they're going to bounce back. I would expect the passing game in some form, whatever form it is, to have some pretty good success, protection to be better. I think they will run the ball. And as I said, I think that defensive front will have its way shutting down the run. And once they make the Jets one-dimensional, Rosie Colvin and Tully Bantik, this might be the day Tully Bantikane makes a play coming off the edge, running through Chad Pennington. So I think the Patriots win this one pretty easily. And I also think Bill Belichick would rather give away one of his kids than lose to Mangini in this. Of course, I think he'd rather give away one of his kids than, you know, do anything else.
For the record, I love that Paul has the book closed already.
No, Fred argued for a half hour to start the show how the Jets were going to keep it close, and now he's shocked when Tom picks the Jets.
Patriots 28-10. Not a close game. Not ever a close game in my mind.
Why is that?
Because I think the Patriots are going to get the ball the first time they get it, go right down the field and score, be up 7-0, and never look back.
Okay, so we'll be one of those nods after the first series?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But in all honesty and in full disclosure here, I thought the same thing last week, and I was...
Right. Well, I think the Patriots are going to win, but I think, again, it's going to be a tough game. AFC East rivalry, I think the Jets are going to be up for this game. You know, they're at home. They're against... You know, Belichick, I think Mangini, you know, no matter what coaches say, has to look at it as a, you know, here's my first chance to put myself on the map, you know, to beat my old mentor.
Here's the whole map.
You know, and I don't know how much of that trickles down to players, but I think players are, I'm sure they're aware of the situation. They're going to come out pumped up. I think it will be a close game. The Patriots will pull it out.
How close? Low scoring, close.
Yeah,
10-7.
They're
pumped about,
you know,
that
maybe 21-19, 17, 13, something like
they
that.
They got 19 last week. Another 19-17.
Yeah, it could be, you know, 17.
I just like the I like how Fred talks about the AFC East like it. You know, I mean, everybody universally in the league is pretty much in agreement. It's the worst division in football, and Fred talks about these bitter wars that you go on.
That doesn't mean
the
they
AFC
can't have close
East
games.
Should be really tough to win.
So
this
you're
one.
Saying the Patriots stink.
There's two really bad teams.
If you think the stinky teams are going to make it a close game, I think the good teams
I think
stinks.
At this point in the season, every team has a long way to go to being to what they
and those
will
those are Fred's
be.
Two staples. AFC East, and early in the year, everybody's equal.
Well,
you don't know.
You know, you just don't know.
No, but one team is
if
better than
knew,
the other.
You would have been better than 8-8 last week.
One team is better than the other.
And you'd be
but we don't know which
ones
those teams are.
What?
So you think every team is equal. There's a difference.
I mean, by the end of the season, you know, people are going 13-3, 12-4 in their picks without the spread.
Not you.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, but somehow you don't manage to be able to do
you'll
that.
Still be 38 games now.
Then he gets up 8-8.
Yeah, you get up to the high water mark of 8-8.
I'm going to love review time this year. I'm really going to have fun at review time this year. You better bring an extra pair of underwear that day.
Fred.
All right.
That's a harassment file.
John's here. John's here. John Rook with Patriots Playbook. John, how you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm enjoying the conversation today, fellas.
Yeah, you following us. We, you know, no, we're all over the map on our picks this week. We don't
all right.
know what's going on.
That's all right. Patriots 47, Jets 12.
Okay.
How's that?
Wow. So you
got to give the Jets credit. They're going to score 12. Huh?
You're with Paul. You think it's a blowout.
I don't think it's going to be like that.
I don't think it's going to be that spread, but I agree with Paul. I actually think that the Patriots will probably score first and never look back. It's just a gut. And then again, I also thought Texas would beat Ohio State last week, so what do I know?
Yeah, but that was emotion.
Yeah, that's your heart.
That's true.
Your heart
that's why I never bet on the Longhorns anyway. You can't do it. Can't do the emotional thing. Just right. doesn't work.
Well, John, what are you going to be talking about today?
Well, let's see. football. Russell Baxter from ESPN will join us.
Baxter.
We have.
No, I don't speak Spanish.
Good lines. Mark Canizero from the New York Post will join us.
Oh, you get real guests.
Yeah, believe me.
Wow, that's great.
I know. We'll also
see what happens.
We'll go in the Patriots locker room. We'll hear from some of the players and also a conference call with Jonathan Vilma from yesterday.
Excellent. All right.
Well, coming up.
Keep them honest, John. All right, that's Patriots Playbook at 2 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, Mike Felger in the second half, maybe some interviews. I don't know. Goodbye.
Let's go. It's just got in. Come on, baby, let's go. It's-